B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Good Tuesday to everybody out there. And, you know, we got a lot of things colliding right here. A lot of things colliding. You got the Sixers playing last night. First preseason game, they lose. We're going to be analyzing what happens with the backcourt without Ben. The Flyers in preseason, throws of preseason now. They got a back-to-back. They win last night. They're going to play again tonight. And, of course, we have the Philadelphia Eagles and the drama that follows the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, I don't know. Is it drama? Is it a learning experience? What, I don't really quite know what the Eagle season means to us right now. But I figured because, you know, there's not many pressing matters when it comes to the Eagles. I mean, we're looking at the same thing. We're looking at the growth of the head coach. We're looking at the growth of the quarterback. We're wondering right now if the young staff is a little overmatched, whether their defensive coordinator can get it together, whether they can beat a team next week that maybe is a little better than them, and what's that going to lead to? Could they actually win 7, 8, 9 games now, or are we settled on 6? Those are the things that we talk about with the Eagles. But there's an interesting subject I think has some teeth that I really like to discuss. You know, on this show, I like to open up avenues of conversation. And I've been paying attention to this. And actually, Tyrone and I have talked about this. I see it on social media. I've heard telephone calls discuss this. The Jalen Hurts situation is an interesting phenomenon to me. I'm going to just give you my opinion of Jalen Hurts. Has not wavered. I don't see, like, from the jump, this overall talent that could lead me to believe that he could be a franchise quarterback for a lot of years. I've been pretty set on that for a long time, and evaluating what he was coming into the league and kind of what he is now, it's a day-by-day experience. He played well in game one, didn't play so well in the next two games. They forged a game plan. It made him look good in game four. So, you know, that's been my opinion of him. He was a second round pick because football people judged him as lacking in certain areas. But when I listen to people out there, it's like there is a resentment out there from a lot of people who think that he is not being as supportive with certain fans, and that fans are not in his corner as much because he is a black quarterback. And I would really like to discuss that because, you know, it's a perception, obviously, that has been out there for many years. I think it's gotten lesser as, except for the Mitchell Trubisky example. But now you look at the black quarterbacks that I would love to have as quarterbacks in my team. In fact, we were talking about one, Deshaun Watson, that they wouldn't acquire. We were both all in on Deshaun Watson. I look around, there's Russell Wilson, there's Kyler Murray, there's Patrick Mahomes. I want a quarterback who has a skill set that can make plays. And when I looked at Jalen Hurts, I go, he's not of that caliber yet where I go, he can make every play in the book. And that's been my judgment on Jalen Hurts. But there are a lot of people that take that judgment and go, well, you're feeling that way because he's a black quarterback, and black quarterbacks just can't get to do with certain people. And I go, let's discuss that. Let's open that up to conversation. Now, Tyrone, I mean, you see it on social media. You see some people that call into the show. You know, they don't mention it. You don't like him because he's a black quarterback, but they kind of like, they resent the lack of like total 100% support of Jalen Hurts right now.
Yeah, and it's tough because there are people out there. There are people who even believe that the evaluations are off because they don't always know how to judge black quarterbacks. Fields being, just happened, they said, oh, he's going to be this and that. He's not smart. He's only a one-read quarterback, they said about him. Then he got to Chicago, and to a man, every coach other than the idiot head coach and every media member said, intelligent, good for the community, can throw all the throws, can do all this stuff. So that's something that's still out there. It's still absolutely out there.
He got passed over early, but he's still was a fairly high first-round draft pick. Hurts was not. And that's where, like, I draw the line. I mean, I get the judgment that is archaic and divisive, But when it comes to Hurt, he was drafted in the second round for a reason. He was drafted in the second round because some NFL experts and scouts said he lacks a certain thing that would enable him to be a first round pick.
Yeah, that's true. But I think, like, even when you said you said the first game he played well, next two games he didn't.
Yeah.
And you said in the next game they fostered a game plan that allowed him to play well. So so people will take that as a shot because you're not saying he played well. You're saying the coaches put him in a position, not that him himself played well.
Yeah, I think that's a fair judgment because what the things he can't do right now in the NFL, which is, I believe, to throw the ball strongly down the field, throw it in windows. He doesn't have that skill yet. I'm not saying he can't acquire that skill. What I'm saying is the coaching staff says, how can we best maximize him now? And I think that's a fair assessment of Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, but I think that's every young quarterback, though. Like, I think Lawrence there in Jacksonville, who was the first overall pick, I think they're still trying to do things in the system that makes him look good. I don't think that would be just for Jalen Hurts. And no one would say, oh, well, the coaches did a good thing. They would say Trevor Lawrence had a good game. They wouldn't say the coaches fostered a game plan that allowed him to play well. So right away, people will hear that and say, that's biased against
That's fair. See, I think I'm looking at it pretty objectively when I go, what things he can do well right now, and it's what they did against Atlanta and what they did in the last game. And I'm okay with that. But it seems like he was a second-round pick for a reason. We have not been convinced that he's a franchise quarterback. We don't know that he can't be a franchise quarterback. With Jalen Hurts, it's just a matter of game-by-game evaluation. So I haven't seen enough to say I'm satisfied, right? But some people look at that and go, well, you should be satisfied. And the reason why you're not satisfied is because he's not a white quarterback, which has never applied to me. I'll take a black quarterback any day of the week if he's got the skill set that's going to make my team win. The thing about Jalen Hurts, it's always held me back, is he good enough to be that franchise quarterback?
Right, and I still need to see more, of course. There are certain things that he hasn't. I'm interested in how it works out. There are people who have claimed that the last couple of weeks has been like an unfair fight because they're saying that Dallas is so much better and the Chiefs are so much better, although the Chiefs defense, I think, absolutely helped. But the Panthers, better defense than the Chiefs because everyone's defense, other than maybe the Eagles' defense, is better, but not as good a team. So this is more of a fair fight. I think this is a week where San Francisco was probably a fair fight as well. But I am interested in what he does in this game coming up because this is a game that's winnable. Now, that doesn't mean they will win. It's on paper winnable. Like, if he plays as well against the Panthers as he did against the Chiefs, they'll likely win the game. If he doesn't play as well, then we can dig into it. So I think it is fair overall, but I do think that there's the language that some people use. And I was just using your thing as an example because I hear people how they would react to it. It's still a thing, and I know there are people who are they're looking to defend him to a fault because they think he's not going to get a fair shot.
Yeah, I totally understand that. That's why I'm opening up the conversation because that's what I would like to have that kind of discussion. That you're worried that because he's a black quarterback that the perception is going to engulf him and nobody's ever going to give him a fair shake. When it comes to me, I looked at Justin Fields. I go, that dude has the skill set to be a star in the NFL. Like, you know, it just rubbed off that way to me. Now, if I was in Jacksonville, I guess I would be studying what Trevor Lawrence does. And if I was in any other city, I'd be studying what that quarterback does. I just happened to be in Philadelphia, and I'm looking at a guy who was taken in the second round, and I thought he was taken in the second round because of he didn't have every attribute that would have made him a higher first-round pick.
Right. I have seen people say, well, what about Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
He was a third-round pick, game one, day one starter, and went on, and obviously he's having a Hall of Fame-level career, won a Super Bowl, got to another Super Bowl, and one of the top five quarterbacks in the game. They're saying that the draft position, because I've heard this, doesn't matter because look at what other guys do to the draft later.
No, him, and they, you're right. Maybe there were misjudgments on Russell Wilson. There definitely were misjudgments on Russell Wilson. But since Russell Wilson has gotten a league, he has shown that he's of that caliber. So far, Jalen Hurts has a long way to go before he gets to that point, to the point where I go, well, guess what? A year down the road, he's a franchise quarterback. The fact he was a second-round pick is not even going to come up. But I'm talking about the initial judgment on what he lacked made him that, and I guess Russell Wilson, his size made him that. And that's why he was taken. He was a smaller quarterback. So, you know, or maybe because they didn't believe in him. But I don't know what the judgment was on him. I know now that he's a star player, and Jalen Hurts is not. So, I don't know. It's a discussion to open up. I think it's an interesting discussion.
Yeah, and his numbers, though, for this year, they're saying Jalen Hurts is on pace for 4,900 mm-hmm. yards. He's only thrown two picks in mm-hmm. four games. That extrapolates to maybe 9 interceptions, almost 30 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. If he does 4,900 yards, 30 touchdowns, 9 picks, that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, we're going to be satisfied with that.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's his current pace mm-hmm. through 4 games.
Okay. You know, I didn't know that Wentz could play. Like, when Wentz was drafted, what was I saying? I was saying, I'm not sure about that 1AA thing in right. the league. So, like, I looked I evaluate based on what I've seen at the college record of Jalen Hurts was spectacular with two great teams. I looked at Wentz like, well, who did he play against? So he's going to have to prove it to me. And so Hurts being a second round pick, why are you going to have to prove it to me? Whereas if there was a guy in the first 12 picks or so that was really ticketed to have NFL breaking ability, then maybe I'd have I would be more hands off. I don't know, but I have Jalen Hurts here, and I think I'm being very fair on evaluating Jalen Hurts. He doesn't do certain things. That doesn't mean he can't do certain things in the future. So, but you know, other people go, well, he should be totally accepted, and he's not being accepted because of certain factors. So we'll kick it around. 610-632-0975 is how you climb into the show today. 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All righty. Oh, we got something special to give away today. I'll tell you in a second. 2 o'clock hour. Brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. For equipment, parts, supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit one of Ferguson's count locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester today. Let's start the Twitter poll. The Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you're looking for a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment, actually, this is a good time to buy because the prices are probably lower. You know, it's off season. Paul B. Moyer & Sons has it all. So order online at paulbmoyer.com or give him a call if you know what you want to order. And you can pick it up yourself in Doylestown, PA. Jennifer Squirto with today's Twitter poll. Jen.
Okie dokie. What is your confidence in Jalen Hurts after 8 starts? You have 4 answers to choose from. A future franchise quarterback, a future good quarterback, future average quarterback, or future below average QB. Mm-hmm. And winning right now with the early votes is future good quarterback at 49%.
Okay. That's awesome. Now, in our evaluation of Hurts, my aim today is to take a look at ourselves. Are we not giving him his due because we're being held back by old tired stereotypes? Or is it fair evaluation based on what we perceive to be his ability right now? So it's a conversation that has no right or wrong answer. It just depends on how you feel and whether you can look deep inside yourself. Okay, so today, the Flyers play on 97.5 again tonight. They won last night. We are giving some lucky listener an autographed Ivan Provorov jersey today. That is correct.
Correct.
From cheering the Flyers at home to that spontaneous road trip into rival territory, for all the places you're headed, planned, unplanned, or otherwise, we'll see you there. AAA is a proud partner of the Philadelphia Flyers. The AAA, with the aid of AAA, an autographed Ivan Provorov jersey.
Worn jersey.
Worn jersey, no less. We'll go to a lucky fan. Now, here's how we're going to do it today. You bring the heat today with us. You bring us a good call. You may trigger the sound effect button.
Yes. And it's,
and Tyrone's board.
It'll sound like
that. Oh, man. There you go. So a good call automatically triggers it.
Yep.
And if you get that, you will be one of the qualifiers at the end, and we'll select that at random.
Yes, and
via computer.
It will be selected during overtime. So you got to listen today.
We're in overtime today.
We have overtime today, and the winner will be announced during overtime.
Well, there you go. Overtime bonus coverage.
Yep. So between,
of the Mike Missanelli show.
Between
today.
6 and 6:30 is when the winner will be announced.
All right, because we're going to lead you right into the Flyers pregame show.
That's right.
Okay. Well, there you go. See, that's worth it.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great item.
Yeah, and that's a guy who you know is going to be there.
So let me ask you this. If you win this, do you wash it?
It's already washed, apparently.
Oh, it is signed. Already washed?
Worn, I would hope so.
Worn.
Well, see, I don't know. I think
it's washed.
You want it smelling like sweat.
Yeah, you don't want to smell like sweat.
It's more genuine, and you know the dude wore it.
No, because some people might want to wear this, and it'll wash away the autograph if you wash it. Somebody might want to wear it.
Okay,
time.
So it's washed and autographed, so you can't wash it.
Then autographed, right.
Right, washed and then autographed.
Okay, so if you wear it autographed, a lot of people will do that, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
so
fine, but then it's your own germs that you're putting into it.
It's your own stink stain.
Yeah, so who cares?
Okay.
You just don't want to wear someone else's. Can't take that kind of chance.
Let me ask you, what is the protocol for the autograph Ivan Provorov jersey? Do you actually wear that or you just hang it?
You put it in a frame and call it a day.
Yeah, I would frame
it.
Hang it.
Put it in whatever room. Well, I don't like that all that stuff always gets put in the extra room.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care for that, but that's probably where it ends up.
In the extra room.
Yeah, I wish you could be part of your regular decor, but I know if a single fella.
Yeah, I can't imagine whether you're...
Are you saying the ladies wouldn't like it?
Not just that. I'm saying gay, straight, or whatever, however you identify.
Uh-huh.
If you get a jersey and you put it in a frame, the odds of your significant other letting you put it prominently in the main room is slim to none.
That's probably true.
Yeah, but it probably should go in a rec room anyway.
Yeah,
right?
But see,
yeah, rec room. At the Mance, General T.Y. Johnson Mance. You got a rec room?
I know. I know. Rec room in the
basement. Rec room. You know. You got
it
like
put in a basement.
Yeah, a basement. Like be in a basement, like kind of.
Yeah, but I got
it's a finished basement.
The part of it.
All right. Well, that's where you put it, right?
Yeah, but no.
But
like,
no.
Yes, but something about it, like if, because I always think that when you decorate your home, some of it should have some of your own personality in it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I can understand why you wouldn't want to paint your walls orange. You want to paint the walls black if you're a big Flyers fan.
Mm-hmm.
But a jersey, to me, you can work a jersey into decor and still make it look right, yet no one ever does it. I feel like there should be a way. Hmm.
I do feel like it's difficult, which is probably
why nobody does it. I think when you get a bunch of stuff like that, you have to make your own rec room.
If it's a black jersey, why can't a black jersey signed fit in with the decor of your house?
What, your living room? Your dining room?
Not the dining room. Look, like, there should be a way. I want to call upon decorators to free men and women who want to put sports decor in the main room but can't. A way to do it classy. There must be a way. I can't just say it's impossible, but I know that this jersey is going to end up in a rec room, which is fine, but not prominent enough.
I don't know. I think it's prominent for a rec room. That's how you can maximize it.
And I feel like the people
in a rec room, it's like you go down to rec room. Oh, look what I got in my rec room.
You have your friends over.
It's rec room decor. is yes. what it is.
Your friends might see it more in a rec room as opposed to hanging in your kitchen.
Come down, you have a TV down there? Come down. Come on down to my rec room here.
I'm going
to
have people all up around my house all throughout it. Keep them contained in one spot.
Well, wouldn't that be the rec room?
Yeah, that'd be the rec room.
No?
Living room. Here's the half bath. There's the door.
Are you telling me?
A triangle.
Hold on a second. Are you telling me you would endorse putting a jersey in your living room?
If an interior designer found a way to do it, is what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm not equipped.
But how would that be possible?
I gotta ask an interior designer. I'm not one.
I feel like, honestly, the only way that you could get away with that is if it was your jersey you played. Right? I feel like you could have your jersey hanging on your wall. But the spouses
don't care about that. I've seen many an NFL player and NBA player's house. I've seen
them. Is this a spousal complaint from you that you're registering here? Is this a spousal?
No.
With Elizabeth?
Don't try to get him in trouble
now. Well, no, I'm just saying, like, you tell him to say, like Elizabeth is this cod boss, any ideas of you doing that in the first place?
No.
Okay.
No. She takes my decor ideas. Takes them under advisement. And I get my way sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Not all the time.
So you might get your way on a Provorov jersey. You might have gotten your way.
No.
Why not?
Because we wouldn't have been able to come up with a way to make it look as good as we want. But I think there is a way.
Okay.
There's got to be a way to where that doesn't get relegated to a room where if there's no company, it's just in the dark somewhere. That's a nice item.
Yeah, really nice.
Yet you can't. Like, I don't know, if you got a Monet painting, you wouldn't put that. You put that in a place where everybody could see it.
Right.
It's a Monet.
Yeah.
What if in your life a Flyers jersey is a Monet? You can't put it prominent. You got to put it in a room where no one sees it.
There are a lot of people out there that make the Flyers jersey the Monet of their living room. I'll tell you. I bet you it's in the Flyer enclaves in this city.
I bet you. Northeast. South Jersey.
Right, there are two Flyer enclaves, yes.
All right. Are these single people or people in relationships? I don't care. Married families. Okay.
Yeah, I got a thing.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Okay, well, let's go to Reggie in Washington, D.C. to start things off. Reggie, what's up?
What's up, Mike? I'm still retired, and I'm listening to you while I'm retired.
Well, that's awesome, Reggie. I love the fact that you're retired. I thank you for coming to FanFest. It seems like you got a nice life going for you.
I do. So anyway, I want to talk about the people who Jalen Hurts throws the ball to.
Uh-huh.
Now, don't you think because they kind of lightweight that Sirianni, it would behoove Sirianni to lobby for illegal contact when they're running down the field and you got these DBs pushing them out of bounds after 5 yards? What's your thoughts on that?
I don't know what lobbying would do. I mean, if a guy's going to make a call, he's going to make a call. I didn't think there were anything wrong with those calls at all. Do you think there were problems with those calls?
No, I don't. But I just, you know, if you want to help your guys out, they're running down. So you see how they're calling all this touchy stuff. I don't know if you saw last night's game. But the Vegas receiver spiked the ball out of bounds. They called a taunting, penalty on him. So sometimes when you're running down the field, you're beyond the 5 yards, okay, and then I know they're jostling on the sideline and everything, but if he pushes your guy out, you could lobby for them to call it.
What is lobbying going to do?
That
works in basketball. That doesn't work in football. Basketball, you can lobby for the next call because you can be relentless for an extended period of time. In football, it's not the same. That was a clear call. Here's the thing. If you're a D-back, you're allowed to ride your body with the guy as long as you turn your head around, and then they look at who's holding whom. That's all.
He didn't
get pushed out of bounds. He got ridden on the play in the coverage of it. He got ridden on the play, because he didn't leave enough room for himself, and B, and he's not strong enough right now.
I understand that. That's why I'm saying. But, you know, we need all the help we can get. Just like if you're a D lineman and you're telling the ref he's holding me, and then eventually you get the call.
You're misjudging it. You're confusing it with basketball.
Anyway, thanks for taking my call.
All right, man. Yeah, you got it right. Lobby's not going to do anything for you to make those calls. Those calls are pretty clear. They have a protocol on how they're going to call that play. You have your head turned around into play. You kind of got your body on the other guy you're riding. And don't let that go.
Yeah, they say that the way it works is once it's down there, if it's body like that, the corner has the right to the spot, almost like in basketball, in a charge situation where the defender has a the defender has a right to that inside spot if he's set up there. And then the hand play and the body play there is allowed. It's especially if the ball's not very close. He ran out of bounds way before the ball was close.
He did. He made two mistakes there. He was too close to the end line, and he... He didn't fight back when they got in that kind of situation where body on body, he didn't have enough fight to beat it.
Right, and he said it after the game. That was man coverage there.
Yeah.
So there was nothing that precluded him from taking it. Only would have taken a half a yard to the right.
Yeah.
Corner does the exact same thing. He stays in and he catches a touchdown pass. He admitted it after the game.
That's the thing he's going to learn in the NFL. See, that's the kind of play that he didn't have to worry about in college.
Right.
You know, because very rarely was a guy's a guy gonna be up on him in a college situation,
right? Because he was such a good route runner there, and that stuff that will come. And Ragers was sloppier.
Yeah.
Rager almost ran out of bounds like that. Definitely early in the year, he didn't, but he felt resistance and cut to the right to go out of bounds versus taking on that contact, keeping your line and making a play on the ball, which is what they tell him to do.
He was not pushed out of bounds, Smith, on that play. In fact, if you look at the play again, he grabbed the guy's jersey in that whole sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And, almost lost his momentum that way to fall out.
Right. And all he needed to do was adjust the route a half a yard to the right, to the inside, and the same play works out. The only difference is he catches a touchdown, and it counts.
And lobbying, you ever see lobbying work in the NFL?
No.
Basketball does. Doc Rivers will get a call. Jay Wright gets calls all the time from being relentless with those guys.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's go Gio in South Philly. Gio, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Gio.
Hey, Mikey Miz, how you doing?
What's going on, Gio?
Hey, I got Jalen Hurts point, but who you got in the Yankees Red Sox tonight? Just betting wise, who you got?
I have no idea, man. It's baseball. I have no idea. It so much depends on the starting pitcher that I can't even tell you who can win one game. Baseball, the Yankees are favored, I guess. I don't know. Is Cole pitching for them in this game?
Yes.
Oh, well, Garrett Cole's pitching. That's why they're a favorite.
No, no, he's been bad down the stretch.
Yeah, but I'll take him in a game like this.
Very bad down the stretch.
Who the Red Sox throw? Nate Eovaldi. Two hard throwers. This is what I like about this game. Both at 97. These two dudes.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting game with that Yankees lineup. You know, those hitters, they get hit, those boys.
Yeah, but the Red Sox are tough. You know, I wouldn't sleep on the Red Sox. They managed to win games. They don't look as talented, but they managed to win games with clutch hitting.
It makes me just a little sad that the Phillies stink and that the city of Philadelphia stinks.
Wait, the Phillies aren't in a one-game playoff tonight?
No, they stink.
Oh.
Everything in Philly stinks.
The NL's tomorrow, Mike.
The NL's tomorrow. The NL's tomorrow. Are they in it tomorrow?
No.
All right. Sorry, man. They're not in tomorrow. Who you like in this game, bro?
I got the Yankees.
Are you a Yankee fan?
Oh, yeah. Yankees.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go. That's why you got the Yankees, of course.
Hey, you think I got that jersey you guys got? You going to give me that jersey?
See, you can't beg for a jersey. No, no, no. You know the worst thing you can do is that.
No Yankee fans will win anything on this program.
Yeah, sorry, man.
You guys stink.
First of all, you cannot. The last thing you could do is beg for the jersey.
No, what's funny is he was actually on his way to getting it. And then he decided, until he said he was a big fan of all those. What does it look like with him with his Yankee in his rec room? He's got a Jeter up there. You know he's got a Jeter up there.
Yeah.
He's got something else and then mix in a Flyers? No, that doesn't work. Can't mix the two cities. So that's out.
He said he was a Rangers fan, right?
Yeah. So why would he even want the jersey?
Right.
Is he going to do something bad to it?
Red Sox are 49-32 at home this year.
Yeah.
That do anything for you?
Yeah, the line is a little -126 Yankees favorite on the road.
Mm-hmm. Last time out, Garrett Cole.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't good.
Six innings pitched, 9 hits, 5 runs, gave up 2 home runs. Start before that, it put six innings out, five hits and three runs against the Red Sox.
Yes. After his first start in September, the rest of the month, he had over a six ERA.
Ooh.
Cole struggled a little bit down the stretch. So something to watch. Hmm. This is, to me, a stone stay away. But they have the Yankees' favorite, the Dodgers' big favorites to win the whole thing. Yankees and Red Sox further down as far as, but the Dodgers are favorite to not only win tomorrow, but win the whole shebang.
Okay. So let's check. Eovaldi faced the Yankees in his second last start. Less than only 2 2/3, got jolted for 7 runs and 7 hits.
Yes, he has a 7 ERA in his first 5 starts versus the Yankees so this year, including that one. Cole this year, 2-2 with a 4.91 ERA versus Boston. It might end up being just an offensive game, and neither pitcher delivers.
You know, if I'm bagging somebody, like if I'm a baseball man, like I'm always going to go with Cole, who's more of a big game pitcher than Eovaldi.
Yeah, so I agree with that.
Well, you know, whether he's in a slump or not, those guys find a way to crank up their level.
Yeah, if you're doing a pool where you're picking stuff, I think it's Yankees. But if it's your money, to me, I wait for and bet the Dodgers tomorrow. I think the Dodgers.
Huh?
I love the Dodgers tomorrow.
Is Bueller pitching in that game?
I got to check out to see, but they're -230 favorites. Wow. Started at -210 and up to 230.
Oh my.
That's why I'm saying, to me, if you're betting a game of these two, wait till tomorrow and bet the NL. I feel more comfortable there. I don't feel comfortable in this AL space with my money. My money will stay out of the American League. I don't want to lose.
All right, so it's Scherzer. Oh, it's Scherzer against Wainwright tomorrow.
Oh, that's a matchup.
Oh, my, but Scherzer a monster fave.
I know. Even a Wainwright.
See, this is the kind of thing about baseball. Now, you look at that game and go, all right, the Dodgers are going to win that game. But the Cardinals are such, like, they pull weeds out of their buttocks all the time.
And Wainwright found a fountain of youth. Boone found another stat for tonight. More than 4 days rest, which applies to Cole tonight. 7-5 with a 2.7 ERA and a 204 opponent batting average. That means you go with the pitcher.
Yeah, if I don't know if Eovaldi lasts through five. I think the Red Sox may have to have the early hook and try to win this game with the bullpen towards the end. All right, I'm going to take the Cardinals in an upset.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Right, Wainwright.
Well, you got some good beat.
The hot squad.
So if you get in there, if they're +205.
I'm going to bet it.
Yeah, get it on that.
I'm going to bet this baseball heaven tomorrow.
For tomorrow.
Yes.
All right.
All right, let's go, Steve in Willow Grove. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener, big fan. First time calling. So
thanks, buddy.
Thank you for taking my call. Hey, listen, I love the subject that you guys got going on today regarding Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
My kind of take on it is that those of us who are, I would say, sensitive to the notion that black quarterbacks have had a stigma against them in comparison to their white counterparts, kind of are a little more, wanting to see this young man succeed. If I could use a quick example, going back to Donovan McNabb, I mean, I know that Donovan did a lot of boneheaded things that didn't necessarily endear himself to the city. However, you know, if you look at the totality of his career, you know, 5 NFC championships, I believe it was. I mean, that's nothing to, you know, sneeze at. He did have a accomplished career. And I personally believe if he were a white quarterback, you know, it wouldn't be a question on if he would be a Hall of Famer, a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's all I got. Thank you.
Okay. I don't know if his career rose to first ballot Hall of Famer with all due respect. I think that I have no bones saying that Don McNabb was the best quarterback in Eagle history. I don't know. Does it rise to a Hall of Fame career?
He would have
what
been
he did?
No, he would have been in. Hasn't he been on the ballot? It's been five years.
So he's no longer, he can no longer be?
No, he can be. He said first ballot Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's not first.
He can't.
Yeah.
I think he already was on.
Is he a Hall of Famer in general?
No.
He just falls a little short, I think.
He's not far off. He's not far off.
Yeah.
You know what he needed? He needed one good year in Washington or Minnesota. And instead, he was just, I mean, you're talking about.
Yeah, he didn't have a good year there.
I mean, 3,300 yards, 14 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, and then 4-2, and then it was over. He ended up with 37,000 yards. one more good year, and if he gets to 40,000 with the Super Bowl appearance and all those division titles, and he had, what, five straight Pro Bowls?
Mm-hmm.
I think six total. He probably gets in with one more good year, and he just missed it.
Do you believe that we were harder on Donovan McNabb because he's a black quarterback this town? Nationally, maybe, because he had idiots like Rush Limbaugh.
Yes, in that, see, this is what was tough. When he started to become more of a pocket quarterback, which was smart, and they had their best success when he made that transition. Remember the Philadelphia chapter, the NAACP, came down hard on him. And then Bernard Hopkins jumped in on it and was ripping him because he wasn't playing the tradition of the black quarterback. Five did go against some, had to go through some stuff.
He did.
That was unfair. And no one would ever say any of that stuff if Donovan was the same player, only white. So he did have to deal with some stuff, but it actually was almost like coming from his own community, a lot of that stuff. Locally, it came from, but nationally, it came from just Caucasians. Just saying wild stuff about him.
Yeah.
When he's making the Pro Bowl, winning games.
You know, the longer we're removed from McNabb, I think we have more of an appreciation. But see, I can never, for me, I can never get past the fact that he played his worst in the most important games.
Yes.
And that stuck. That stuck with me.
Yeah, I'm just looking at, he had a stretch there where he went consecutively 11-5 starting, 11-5, 7-3, 12-4, 13-2. We're not, I would sign for that right damn now from Jalen Hurts. 11-5, 11-5, 7-3, 12-4, 13-2. If I could get that stretch.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then later on, he had an 8-6, 9-6, 1, 10-4. His last year.
See, I think we knew he was an accomplished quarterback, which disappointed us more when he didn't deliver in the NFC title game.
Or the Super Bowl.
Even though that I never held out against him.
No, because the Patriots were better.
I thought the Patriots were better. But the one that I never could forget was the Arizona Cardinals one. Well, yeah, Tampa Bay is one thing. But the Arizona Cardinals, he was at the 49-yard line, first and 10. The Cardinals 49 and win that game.
Didn't get another first down.
Yes. So, that was hard for me to forget.
No, that's fair.
All right, 610-632-0975. A quick break back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, 247, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Good call today. Gets the sounder activated. What's that sounder again? yes. That's one of my favorite sounders that we have here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah.
And if you're one of those callers that just bowls over the computer, you're going to be eligible to win an autographed Ivan Provorov jersey. That's right. As the Flyers season is getting kicked into gear. Flyers first, then Sixers. That's the way it works. One starts a little before the other. We'll also at 4 o'clock have our kickoff cash contest. Dave Zangaro will also join us at 4 o'clock, talk more about the Eagles. And a little later in the show, I talk about French food being the most overrated food on the planet.
Correct.
I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I'm going to bring up a specific instance of that I read in a story on Sunday. So, now let me just say about one thing about McNabb. A lot of people say, you judge him by the goofy stuff that he used to do. Now, here's what I'll say about that. The goofy stuff on its face didn't really sour me on him. However, the goofy stuff in conjunction with the playoff failures that he had, made that goofy stuff blow up like a Macy's Day balloon.
Yes.
It became larger, the goofy stuff, because of the playoff failures.
Yes. And then the goofy stuff, which kept him from connecting with the fans 100%. And then T.O., and that argument made a lot of people who already were like, I don't know about this guy. He seems kind of weird. they sided with T.O. because they, even though T.O. was insane, they understood insane more than they understood him. He never got it here. And it is still perhaps the stupidest thing ever done, the morons that went to Boom at the draft.
Well, yeah, that was a horrible thing that he took too much to heart. But, like, here's the things. The phone on the sidelines. Now, the phone on the sidelines, if you're colorful, that doesn't bother anybody. It's like the scene in Bull Durham.
And they won that game.
With the dirty shower
they
shoes.
They did beat the Giants that game. Right, they won right. that game. So yeah, I loved yes. that at the time. They okay, won that yeah. game. They
so,
went up there
so
and
So that's what I'm saying. Like, you get immunity for like mm-hmm. for that.
Right.
And then the air guitar.
Then they lost.
Right. And the air guitar all of a sudden goes, oh, look at this guy. The air.
Yeah.
See, when you're a star, you perform at every level. Those things are looked at as eccentricities.
Right.
Otherwise, they're like, the hell.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, like Hulk Hogan used to tell a lot of lies and stuff. There was a book recently. I just thought of it. Mm-hmm. He lied about how Metallica asked him to play bass for him. And he used to tell that stuff in the locker room and stuff. But because he was the cash cow, they just let him tell terrible, crazy stories like that. But they all knew he was lying.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, Metallica wanted you, Hulk Hogan, to be the bass mm-hmm. player. They don't have anybody else. They wanted you. He also said Guns N' Roses. He said Metallica and Guns N' Roses.
Stop.
He said that in the locker room. Oh, yeah. There's video. There's real-to-real footage of him lying about that. But they're like, it's Hulk Hogan. He draws a lot of money.
Yeah.
So we'll let him. But if a new guy did that, they'd kick him out of the locker room.
Yeah.
Lying.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Vinny in Lehigh Valley. What's up, Vin?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
How you doing, man?
Not bad. I wanted to get into the same Jalen Hurts black quarterback discussion.
Uh-huh.
I'm 36. I was born in 85. So basically, since I've been alive, you've had Cunningham, McNabb, Vic, and now Hurts. So almost 28 years of my 36 years of being alive, we had black quarterback.
Mm-hmm. So it's no big deal in this city, you're saying?
You know what? There are racists out there. I'm not stupid. There are racist people out there. But I believe the true Eagle fan doesn't really care. I think it's more like a running quarterback compared to a black quarterback conversation could be arguable sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But the color of their skin, like for the real Eagle fan, I don't think is like much of an issue.
Well, but you've heard a lot of calls, you've seen a lot of social media, and a lot of people that think that we're not giving him a fair shake because he's a black quarterback. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. That's why I'm just putting out the discussion. Now, obviously, you think not.
I think it's too early to tell right now, because like Carson Wentz, he played the end of last season with a horrible offensive line. He had the first game of the season with a fairly healthy offensive line, and he's last 2-3 games, the offensive line's hurt again. So I think it's going to take the full season just to potentially see where he's at. I think we're still a long ways from counting him out yet.
Obviously we're a long way from counting him out. He is a quarterback and a player that would be measured from week to week. He's trending up right now after that last game. A lot of people after that game, I looked at his game, that was solid for me. Now, a lot of people go, it wasn't solid because A, he missed a touchdown throw. B, he threw behind a guy. The other thing, he threw too wide for a touchdown with Greg Ward, and he didn't throw the ball 15 yards down the field. Now, in the last game, none of those applied to for me as far as his overall performance, which I thought was really solid.
No, it was more of the defense that didn't look, and the coaching of the defense was where we went wrong with last game. Because we went from Dallas, we let them throw deep on us and run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So with the Chiefs, it's like they took that away with not letting Kelce get the ball.
Yeah,
but they were getting short passes on us all game. They were okay with them going down the field for 13 play drive.
Uh huh.
I think our defensive coordinator needs to figure out how he's going to play this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. And he said some things today, which are interesting, Tyrone, about playing the rest of the season. Because he was asked to pointedly, Jonathan Gannon, about how did you get a linebacker on those kind of receivers?
Yeah, and he said that he he doesn't really see them as a dime team. But we'll have the audio on the other side.
Okay. So that means he is saying that I don't have enough cornerback type players to flood a zone.
Yeah, the problem with that is, though, you got to give McPherson a chance to play before you decide he can't play. Especially if you're giving up a touchdown every possession.
Yeah.
For two straight games.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to try something else, Mr. Gale.
Yeah, well, see, that happened last year with the staff where they go, you know, these guys aren't showing me nothing in practice where I can't take a chance on them. And the biggest one was the receiver that they didn't unveil until, well, late in the season.
Right, but the problem with that is last year, trying to make the playoffs, blah, 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 fine. You can't, the owner can't say transition year and then have a rookie just not play.
Mm-hmm.
When you're giving up a touchdown every possession.
Yeah.
Like, that's all. Like, you just force a punt before you tell me that you can't adjust.
Correct. All right. So, 3 o'clock hour is straight ahead. I may talk about some foie gras in the 3 o'clock hour. Our own Jen Squirto happens to be an enthusiastic French food enjoyer.
Oh, that's pushing it a little bit, but okay.
You're talking about your girls' night out, all your fine French food.
We'll talk about this in conjunction with a specific article that I read, and also all these issues that we're talking about sports-wise. And if you bring a good call to us, you could win a Flyers jersey.
Oh, man.
The Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
3 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. 3 o'clock hour brought to us by Corp Police Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie, hoagie, party trays, every bit as good. Dave Zangaro is going to join us at 4. Don't forget also at 4, right before Dave, the Fanatic's kickoff cash. And of course, this hour, if you have a great phone call, the computer will recognize it and will sound off.
Oh, man.
That's right. And you will be eligible for a autographed Ivan Provorov jersey worn by Ivan.
Yes, worn and then signed.
Worn and washed.
So I have the Gannon audio if you're interested.
Okay, this is Jonathan Gannon today talking about his defense and why he ended up with linebackers covering Tyreek Hill.
We're not really a dime team right now. We like to play out of four down and two linebackers. I'm not going to get really into the schematics of that, but I'd like that one back. That particular formation forced us to check a call, and they got us in a mismatch. It was good design by Andy.
Can you tell us why you're not a dime team?
I just don't believe in, right now, with who we are, I like to play out of four down and two linebackers. You know, we feel like that's kind of the best way with second down and drop back and defending who we've defended up to this point. Or yes, on third down as well, to play with two linebackers in the game.
We like to play with four down two linebackers. Well, guess what? That hasn't been working very well. So what he's saying is that we're not really a dime team because I don't know who I would play in the dime package.
Right. And to me,
these guys aren't impressing me that much, basically, is what he's saying.
Right. And I know coaches don't want to just give a guy playing time who hasn't deserved it. But the last two games, Dallas punted some, but they moved the ball a lot. A lot of those punts were late in the game.
Yeah.
Chiefs, zero punts. Mm-hmm. If you start off against Carolina and they get up, they forget what you score because he's got to focus on his defense.
Yeah.
If they come down, get a touchdown, if they're not forcing punts with the Panthers now, who are not the Chiefs or Dallas on offense,
mm-hmm.
at some point, though, he has to say, okay, McPherson, we're going to play dime like other teams do, one linebacker, and let's try to get some stops. Mm-hmm. Like, especially since he's getting destroyed against the run. So what's the difference? He has the two linebackers and they get destroyed against the run. Go with the one linebacker where you're going to destroy more. They're like second and last in the NFL as it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, I, I don't, I just don't get it with him yet. Maybe it'll all make sense. They get new players, and I'll go, man, this guy's a genius.
Yeah.
But so far, that just sounds like he's being stubborn for stubborn sake.
Yeah, anyway, he's saying, my personnel is so bad that I'd rather play like this, even though we're getting torn apart like this.
Right, I'd rather Harris on Hill.
Right.
He admitted that was a mistake, but I'm saying if the mistake's going to happen,
mm-hmm.
I'd rather have a Harris on Hill than one of my backup corners on Hill.
Yeah.
That's what he's basically saying.
Yes.
That's a shot at Howie.
That's what he's saying.
That's a shot at Howie.
Yep.
I mean, he's saying that what I've been given is so bad, and that includes a corner that we just drafted.
Yeah, who's no good.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah, that's basically what
he's saying. He's saying, I'd rather a linebacker.
All right. Okay, before you get to the phones, let me just say this, this French food thing. Let me open the chapter here. I never got French food at all. And I believe that people like French food because they're afraid not to like it. I think it's like so overly hyped that people who think they are foodies go, well, if I don't like it, I must not get it because it's supposed to be the world's supreme cuisine. And I look at it and I go, it's foo-foo to the max where it's not even recognizable as food. And the portions are like minuscule. And it's like, ooh, how fancy. And I just, like, organs and sweetbreads and escargot and all this trendy stuff that you see that guy in the Food Network. Not Bourdain, the other guy who's even worse than Bourdain. I always forget his name, that guy, the bald guy
with the glasses.
Yeah,
I forget his name.
Andrew Zimmer.
It's the oddest stuff, and it's like, if you don't like this kind of odd stuff, then you're in Nowheresville. That's the trendy French food thing. I could be wrong, but let me introduce you to the story that I read.
This is an Inquirer.
In the Inquirer on Sunday by Craig LeBon,
French,
who's the food critic.
Also,
he's French or not? That's a nom de plume. But I think he's a guy. I've texted back and forth with him.
Nice guy.
He seems to be a nice enough fellow who will engage you in conversation. But I always thought that he's the type of guy that would never rip French food, because if he rips French food, then he doesn't get the special cuisine that it is. Well, these great French chefs that have been spawned over the years, right? So he's got to like be in it.
Right.
So there's this restaurant, and I won't know what the name of the restaurant. It used to be on the Pasadena Avenue, Ultra Fufu, and it just moved to Collingswood. And it's a BYO in Collingswood. And the guy is like cooking French to the max. And part of cooking French to the max is he has a special duck press. Now, Jen, you are familiar with this duck press, right? It's a big crank wheel.
Yes, it's archaic looking.
Right, and so what he does is he puts the raw duck in the press and smashes it down with the press, with the wheel, to the point where it's flat and the bones are all cracked up. And then he cooks it at table side with a little cognac and the other... Right.
So, I believe it's a roasted duck.
And duck blood.
I believe it's a roasted duck.
Comes out of the press as part of the duck jus.
I believe it's a roasted duck.
When he puts it in the press, it's roasted?
I believe so.
I don't believe it is.
Right, no? Okay.
No. I don't believe it's roasted
duck. Either
way,
then,
I believe
it is barbaric.
Because if it was roasted, you wouldn't get the blood. So it's a fresh duck that he presses in order to prepare with his special cooking method using the blood...
Right.
But here it is.
Yes.
Tableside pyrotechnics of cognac flames and duck jus that is thickened with foie gras and blood that streams from the press spout as the carcass is crushed.
It is very barbaric and archaic, and I would try it. Completely.
See?
I can't do that. Why can't you do that?
See, this is
to the point where people who are French foodies go, oh my God, what a unique way to prepare the duck.
Now, I'm not like that, but if if somebody made that for me, or I went to that restaurant and they were going to do it, I'd eat it. Yeah, I'd try it.
So you got a glass.
I will try anything, though.
It's BYOB.
I really will.
So you got a nice glass of wine.
Right, that you bring from home.
That you brought, right. You got it sitting there, and you're sipping it. And here he comes, and you start to hear the crackle.
Yeah, I couldn't handle the noise, I don't
think. Well, he's doing it right there.
I know.
At the table.
It's a big show thing. It's, you know, the pomp and circumstance of it.
The French chefs, they like to use the cream and the caviar.
Well, it's like, yeah, it's like the escargot
and the sweetbreads. Oh, don't forget the sweetbreads, which I don't get at all.
It's just brains.
Pancreas and heart. Why do we need to eat organs as part of this foo-foo cuisine?
They're very good for you. They really are.
For me, organs it's are more very good the murder. The tail, like, I know that it's gone, but when you're, like, have some respect for the carcass. See, I respect the carcass. That's why an animal I like is the jackal. Because the jackal goes around and cleans up carcasses because you can't just leave them around. That's why I like the jackal. I can't have this. I won't.
Well,
can't you do that in the kitchen?
That's what's going on in the French kitchens. So just, you know.
Well, fine if it's in the kitchen.
I never understood the French. People are like, oh, you don't want to go to Paris?
Well,
I had no desire to go to France at all.
This is a very, very unique item. It's probably maybe the only one in Philadelphia. Maybe the only
in
one.
In the Philadelphia area.
Yeah.
French restaurants have dwindled. There used to be Bibao.
And it's very, very
Bibo
unique.
Or whatever, however you pronounce that.
But there are French dishes that are delightful and very simple. I mean,
is there any pescatarian anything there?
Oh yeah, they would have lots of fish.
Yeah, definitely. Here's something for you, Tara. A dewy French hunk of halibut with Venetian ocetra caviar. Over cranberry beans and snap peas, glazed in lobster steeped richness of a sauce americaine.
That sounds delightful.
I already know I got to stop on the way home because I'm still hungry after that, and I paid $400.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be like that,
right? And I paid a fortune. Oh, yeah. Now I'm still hungry. Uh-huh. I'm out.
Yeah. There are rustic French dishes that are delightful, though.
Rustic.
Like a perfect like French roasted chicken is delightful. Some vegetables, some potatoes on the side. It's perfect. And that is French, too. Not all French food is like that.
Rustic French?
Yeah. I mean,
what is that?
Well, this is very frou-frou.
See how when you introduced it, Mike, she's like, you're overstating it.
Yeah.
Instead, you know the levels of French cuisine. Yeah, I've only been once.
Yeah, I can. She's I don't understand the need for eating an escargot.
I love them.
I don't get eating a snail. My daughter likes it too. I don't understand the rationale of eating it. Even if it's great, I don't understand the rationale of actually digging an escargot out of a shell and eating it with being a little antenna.
You don't have the antenna.
Well, it's in the shell.
No, it's not.
It's everything in the shell. You dig it out of the shell. Most of the time, don't you?
No.
I've seen it dug out of a shell.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
Of a cooked escargot?
Yeah, they put it back in the shell.
No, I don't even think the escargot that you eat, it's a different type of snail. I'm not even quite sure that they have antenna.
Look at you. Now you're a snailsman. What the heck's going on here,
Jennifer? It's an escargot, which is not just your normal snail. You can't just go outside and grab some snails and throw them in a pot.
Look at that escargot.
Oh, man.
Where's that from? That's from 48 Hours. No, that's from Trading Places.
Yes.
The jokes told at the table.
Yeah.
When they're having the nice dinner.
Yeah, having a nice dinner. Yeah. All right, let's go. Jay in Northeast Philly. Jay, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jay.
Mike, what's going on?
What's going on, Jay? How you doing?
Good. How about yourself?
Good.
So, first of all, I want to say I am black, so that's my angle. I just wanted to put that out there because my angle on coming with the Jalen Hurts thing.
Right.
To me, he's just like, I'm kind of in your camp. Like, I want him to prove me wrong, but from what I've seen, he's not really getting it done. Granted, he has had a couple good games, but to me, he cannot make every throw.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the points I got down. Unless it's within 10 yards or so, he's really, really accurate in the short game. I'll give him that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the commentator brought up many times, like when Jalen Hurts rolls left, he's either throwing a bad ball or he's running the ball. And the commentators say that, I'm sure every D coordinator in NFL knows that.
Mm-hmm.
A couple key points that I had from last game. You said it, the Ertz miss, the Ward miss, and also he was sacked right before halftime. To me, that was a big play in the game. They could have got points there.
Yeah.
And he ended up, you know, squandering the opportunity there.
Yeah. I kind of have this checklist when I evaluate who is the total franchise quarterback, right? Now, I said it yesterday. The perfect quarterback is Patrick Mahomes. because he's a quarterback who can make all the plays, including using his legs to escape a rusher. It's the quarterback that has the medium range over the middle arm strength that it can extend to the deep out pattern, and then the long ball when you need it. To me, that's the perfect quarterback. And in most cases, it's the black quarterback who's more capable of doing all of those things these days.
Correct.
Yes.
It just hurts. Like for an example, if you put Hurts on one hash and tell him to rip a comeback route 35 yards down the, or 25 yards down the field, I personally don't to the opposite sideline. I personally don't think the ball is going to be in the right spot.
Oh man! Oh, guess what? You just qualified for a Flyer jersey.
Oh man, I've been Pro Bro too, right?
Yeah, I've been Pro Bro. You a big Proby fan?
I'm a big Flyers fan, so not a big Flyers fan, but I watch the Flyers.
Well, guess what, Jay? Your commentary triggered the computer.
Oh, man, appreciate it.
All right, man, you hang on 1 second. There you go. Boom. First qualifier of the day.
Yeah, well, the
computer recognized.
Yeah, the Yankees and stuff, that can't happen.
Well.
Now there's people that are on social media mad saying that the carcass is roasted, not raw.
Well, I really do think it's roasted.
Well, how to get the blood get out?
Well, because when you, it's not like you're thinking of actual blood flowing out of a dead animal, and it's more like roasting the carcass and squeezing it so hard that the juices come out, and so some of that might still be a little bit bloody.
And then you reheat it in its own gravy?
Yeah, so you make a sauce with it.
Still feels, if it's roasted already...
It's bad.
All right. Well, I can. But if it's raw and that's how you're cooking it, you got to do that in the kitchen, man. I don't want to sit here and do that.
Well, the crackage of the bones under the press is like kind of, you know.
It's archaic.
It's a bit of a violation, but I'm more okay with it roasted than him doing that in front of me. This is why I don't work at a slaughterhouse, because I'm very fascinated by them. But I don't want to be watching that.
No.
I can't watch that.
All right, man. I'm just, you know, I don't know. It seems to me that I was thinking that that they were going for freshness. The freshest duck possible is the duck that is not cooked yet, and you can see that it's fresh, and that's how they cook it after they crack it down. But I could be wrong.
Well, this guy's a travel writer who's telling me.
Oh, okay.
So maybe he's been around.
All right. Well, in that case, it still doesn't appeal to me.
Okay.
Yeah, like the French way appeal to me.
That's why I eat freedom fries.
Freedom fries.
Yeah, I'll mess with it. Like,
yeah, it's, I don't know. I there's something about overly foo-foo that makes me go, yeah.
Sometimes I don't have patience for it, but.
It's like pretentious and
complete pretentious, yeah, but also delicious.
And they go gastronomic with the you know, the foam.
Yeah, that's a big French thing. Yeah. A lot of people do that, though. I don't know that's typically French.
We're Frenchy.
That's just high end, yeah. I think.
Stevie J goes, sounds raw to me. Not roasted. He just said it. It does sound raw. The way he did
it. Stevie J checking in to you. Stevie J never cooked French?
No.
At the Casa?
Now, yeah, he's in Pensacola, so he can easily get to Collinswood. He's not going to go to that particular place.
I think you ought to take Stevie J over there just to open the horizons on you know, maybe we're judging it harshly.
You know,
and
what?
You would take your pop there and you'd really get something and go, you know what? This is actually pretty interesting.
Well, they let me bend the BYO rules.
How so?
What do you mean?
Everybody automatically brings wine.
Yeah.
But I don't want to bring wine.
You want tequila?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can bring tequila.
And that'll give me a hard time.
You can bring mixers, I assume. Yeah, you can bring your whatever you need with mixers.
They probably have the mixers. Club soda. Yeah. That's all I need. Club soda.
Maybe they don't have club soda. Maybe you bring your own.
Well, I don't want to bring it. I'm not doing that.
Well, schlep in with a bit of, you know.
Well, I'm just already schlepping in with the tequila. I got to schlep in with a bottle of club soda, too.
The BYO is just for alcohol.
Nah. Yeah, so I'm saying. If they got to have some sparkling water.
Sparkling water they might have.
They got to have club soda. That'll do it.
That'll work in a pinch.
That'll work in a pinch. That's fine for my tequila because I don't want to mix all that sugar.
That's
trying not to add too much of the sugar.
I'm telling you, you might have to walk down the street to the grocery store. I don't want to have you do that. But I'll bring it with you.
Yeah, worst case is I'll put it back in the car.
Exactly.
Worst case, I'll put it back in the car.
Then what are you going to do?
No, I can't drink it straight.
That's right. Zach in Levittown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Zach.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
What's up, Zach?
So, Tyrone, I am the guy that displays his Flyers jerseys proudly all throughout his house, including my framed one.
You do?
Yes, Zach,
are you a married man?
Yes.
Okay, see, now, Tyrone, Levittown, a big Flyer enclave in Levittown. So you got a Levittown rancher house?
Yeah.
Uh-huh, and you got the rancher, and you got the jerseys all over the place.
Yes, I collect them.
Well, interesting. So you don't have a rec room, it's like living, or somebody can walk into your living room, or maybe your dining room, or maybe even the kitchen, and they're going to see a jersey?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not judging. I'm just saying, how's that work? Are you a married man?
I'm engaged, but my fiance is actually a fairly big sports fan, and she's been converting more to like starting to watch the Flyers with me more. And
are you guys living together?
The tasteful stuff. Yes,
you are living together.
Yeah, we got three kids.
Now let me ask you: is there a marriage planned here?
Yes.
Okay, so here's what I would caution. Once the marriage happens, will she change her decor ideas? Because she's rolling with you right now. She's rolling with you. It's your casa, you know?
That's right.
You got the jersey all over the place. Now, once it's cemented, I wonder if she comes in, wants to make some changes.
She knows where I stand with my Flyers. I've repped the Flyers in South Korea. I've repped the Flyers in Kuwait. I've repped the Flyers in Afghanistan.
Well, listen, thank you for your service, Zach. So you get the respect of us for that. I'm just saying, sometimes when you get, like, the woman likes to turn the house with her own flavor, Tyrone. Am I right on this?
Oh, yeah, those are all coming down, man, after the marriage.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you qualify.
Guess what, Zach? You qualify for your honesty. You have qualified for the Provorov jersey.
Nice.
All right, you hold on a second.
I don't want to be that guy. Well, but you heard, because that's the story.
That's definitely going to change.
I mean, this is what's going to happen. Her parents are going to do them a favor while they're on the honeymoon after the wedding. And when they get back to that house, those jerseys, though, are going to be something in some room. And they, hey, we bought you guys some art as part of the wedding gift, even though they paid for the wedding. And her family's going to redecorate while they're going as a surprise. And when he gets back, those things are going to be in a corner somewhere. There's no way that's still happening. She's just along for the ride. Kind of like how my wife used to be a big Texas football fan. That lasted all of a month. And then a decade went by, she didn't watch, and now she's back. But you do stuff in the beginning to get the hooks in. And then they bail. Like, she's not doing that.
My man's going to face this. Well, listen, if we're going to have dinner parties, we can't have this up.
Right.
Right? If we're going to have both our families over to have dinner, a formal dinner, we're going to have to, I'll smell it a mile away.
Yeah, but he's going to push back. He says, you know what? This feels more like your house. We should get exactly. Our house. And then they move, and in the new house, that stuff's
there's
in
nothing.
The basement.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Stuff, she, yeah, no way. I think
the fall's coming, Zach. But I
I see it more going that way, Tyrone. That she's going to live with it in this house, and then when they get our house.
Yep. So we can both put our spin on it. We're just as cold for her. And you just sit in the corner and shut up. You just do it.
Yeah, I'm afraid my man is going to have to change his views. We'll take a quick break. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, time for the Twitter poll update. Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Jennifer Scorda has the update. Jen?
What is your confidence in Jalen Hurts after 8 starts? We have 1,000 votes so far. 7% say future below average quarterback. 11% future franchise quarterback. 33% future average QB. And 49% future good quarterback.
All righty. Thank you very much. I was just looking at a French restaurant that I've been to two in my life in the city. One was Bibel,
mm-hmm.
which is no longer with us. And the other was Will on Passyunk Avenue, which is also no longer with us. And I remember going there with the family. Here's the problem with me and French food is that I have to really scan the menu and just, it's like searching for gold bullion for me to find something that I'm really going to enjoy.
Right.
Right? So we go on a Sunday. It was a family gathering. I don't know whose birthday it was. It might have even been my birthday. And we get the Sunday price fix menu.
Oh, see, but then that limits your options.
Well, yeah, it does. So here's what I dealt with. First course, lobster, fennel, consomme.
Yeah, you don't like okay. seafood. Mike's not a seafood.
That's a less, wow. It's a consomme. You're not a consomme man either.
That's a soup.
It's a lobster fennel consomme. There's nothing in it except it's consomme. It just tastes like lobster and fennel.
There's no actual lobster in it?
No.
No.
Oh, then I'm out.
It's a consomme.
Really?
It's a taste. This is what the French do. They give you a little taste.
Give me a straw right, instead of this spoon since I'm drinking my meal.
No, there's no lobster now. It's the broth made from the lobster
right, so
bones.
Just give me a straw. Shells. Don't give me a spoon.
Well, this is the first course.
So drink.
That's first course.
So drink.
First course. Second course, you got your choice. Burgundy snails.
I'm all in.
With ants and mill grits and chicken livers.
Yes, all in.
Or
what do you mean, all in?
Or Bombay cured Campachi crudo.
What? Nah.
Which is obviously a raw fish. Campachi is kind of like a yellowtail tuna.
Yeah, I've had that.
I'm not a crudo fan.
See, I can't.
So right away, I'm at, like, first two courses, I got nothing.
I could do that if I had to do the second one.
Okay. Now, ready for the third course?
Yeah.
Yeah, $16 supplement with the third course as well.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Hudson Valley foie gras and rabbit.
Yes.
Terrine.
Oh, yeah, I'm in. On that.
I'm out on both. Oh, I'll sit there going, can I have a slice of bread?
Some cheese, some bread, that's it.
You're right. I'm not eating a rabbit.
Oh, I love rabbit.
I know a lot of people do. I am not eating a rabbit. I'm sorry it's too little of a creature to grab, trap, and skin and put it on my plate. I can't go for it. Sorry. And I'm not going to crush it in some press at the dinner table.
That's only duck.
That's only the duck.
Why can't you do it to a rabbit?
What are the odds?
Same Jim? Process can work.
I've never had an escargot.
Delicious.
What are the odds? No, Jen. What are the odds that I'd like it?
Everybody that I've been with that has never had escargot and tries it in front of me likes it.
In front of you.
Yeah.
Kind of
like if I order it and I say
kind
try.
Of
listen,
I'm not denying that you might like it. What I like is, what's the need to eat an escargot? Are we that
because
much of a...
it's delicious.
Oh, it's delicious. So we just, is it necessary to eat an escargot?
Well, I don't know, Mike. When I go out to dinner to a nice fancy restaurant, I want something that tastes delicious.
Okay, nothing's necessary. All right, I got it. All right.
Nothing. We could just eat bread and water.
Fourth course. Now, this is where sea trout, which,
Oh, yeah. Fine.
That's not me.
Yeah, I like
but
that.
I have to get to the fourth course, and I have to get to the third milk-fed poulard.
Mm.
I could go for that because that's a
right?
special kind of chicken. Yeah. Though a poulard has to be at least 120 days old at the time of the slaughter, and it has to be fattened with a rich diet that delays egg production. They're messing with the chicken just to provide an experience, flavor experience for the human being.
That's what the French do.
Yeah. Messing with the chicken's menstrual cycle.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable with that. Leave
okay.
the chicken menstrual cycle.
That's what I'm saying. This
alone.
Is what we do.
That's what the French do.
And finally, I get to what I can actually eat, which is the grilled Wagyu beef.
Perfect.
Well, that's so they give you a small strip.
So in that $230 price fix dinner, I got a little piece of Wagyu beef.
Oh, man. You had to stop at the McDonald's for the quarter pounder.
Of course.
With a McDonald's, you got to stop here. But, Daddy, you just ate because you got your daughter with you. Nah, honey. Fine. You want a Happy Meal? You probably still hungry, too. That's terrible.
I had to get home and gorge myself with something. I forget what it
was. I mean, Mike, anyway,
what?
The Italians eat a lot of weird stuff, too. So
I don't know. Let me see. Here's the thing.
You don't.
I don't.
Because
I've seen it. Is there a need for you to eat tripe? Is there any need for that?
Because some people think it's delicious.
Right. It's relative.
And because way back in the day, they ate every part of the animal.
I understand because because they were peasants.
And so did black people.
I get it. Right. Peasant, you make do.
Rabbit is delicious.
But at this stage of my life, I'm not sure I needed to make do with the tripe.
Okay,
but I knew why my grandfather needed to do it.
For if Jen goes to a restaurant and like unchecked, she have like the blood on her face.
Oh my god,
like pure carnivore.
I am a pure carnivore.
That's what I meant.
Jen's all about experiencing the foo-foo.
Experience delicious food. It doesn't have to be foo-foo. A lot of times I don't have patience for that. Mm-hmm. I just like good, delicious, tasty meals.
Okay, so the first time you ordered escargot, was it because you thought it was going to be delicious or because you were just trying out something foo-foo?
The first time I believe that I had escargot, my mom had ordered it and I was in high school or something. And she said, I'm going to make you try this because you need to try everything. I tried it and I liked it.
All right. Okay. Nah. Hey, to each his own. I'm not judging.
That's right. Yeah.
I am not judging. I'm merely saying.
You are, but that's okay.
No. I am just saying, why do we need to be so foo-foo?
Part of the reason why she wants them to bring back dinosaurs is so that she can eat some of that. So I've always imagined a T-Rex would be delicious. Didn't you say that?
Mac in Harrisburg. Mac, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mac.
This is old school Mac.
What's up, old school Mac?
Hey, here's my take on what's going on with Jalen Hurts. First of all, they didn't play him in the preseason. So therefore, his timing down, he makes mistakes that were never corrected in the preseason, and having his brain trust, put him in the regular season, and he got all these things against him. It's not because he's black. It's because the team didn't do anything to increase his odds of being good.
Well, then listen, nobody plays in the preseason, especially now. So he wouldn't have gotten enough reps anyway.
They knew he was an unfinished product. And they should have been seasoned in the preseason.
Yeah, well, but see, being seasoned doesn't make your arm grow strength. The knock on Jalen Hurts is the arm strength is not quite NFL quality. That's what the knock on him is. Every week we will see if that's the case. You saw what they did last week with him. They didn't throw in the middle of the field. They hit the tight end short patterns. They swung it out. They quick, no huddle offense. They quicks.
They're not sure what he can do.
Well, why do you think that is? Why do you think they don't call certain plays? Because they don't trust him to do those plays yet.
But I don't think they're putting him in positions where he can do those.
What would be putting him in position? To play more in preseason? Is that nobody plays in preseason. You can't risk injury. They see him in practice every day.
Well, there's a big difference between practice and a game.
Yeah, but who played every game in preseason? Nobody. No starting quarterback does.
So say he played one complete preseason game.
Nobody does that. Nobody plays their starting quarterback in one complete preseason. The most they'll ever play is a quarter.
All right, well, he should have been playing some quarters.
He played one quarter, and then he got the stomach problem, and then by then they couldn't play him in the third one.
And then it comes to regular season, and he's like caught in a revolving door.
What's the revolving door? I don't understand. Either you have the skill to call certain plays or you don't have the skill. They obviously don't feel he's got the skill to call certain plays right now. And that wouldn't have rectified itself with one extra quarter in preseason.
There's a difference between preseason and regular season.
You've said that already. Let's go to Dave on the cell. Well, Dave, let's take a break here. Dave, we'll get you next. This is a quick break. We're back. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3:45, Mike Missinelli Show. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we're going to try to give away $500 on our kickoff cash giveaway. And also, Dave Zangaro will join us with his thoughts on the defensive coordinator kind of admitting today his personnel is a little thin. And maybe how he was listening to what he had to say. So let's go back to the phones. We'll talk to Dave on a cell. Dave, thanks for hanging in there, buddy.
Hey, Mike, how is everyone doing?
What's up, today? Dave? How you doing?
We're doing well down here in Florida. But anyhow, this business about Jalen and, you know, the fact that he's black has nothing to do with it. Really doesn't. This guy was a
second-round
pick.
To some people, it does. So, you know, you can't deny how certain people feel.
I have to say that, you know, this league is got a predominantly black clientele. So let's not go there. I mean, it's not necessary. In the case of Jalen Hurts,
the quarterbacks are, there are some black quarterbacks in the league, yes. But what do you mean by clientele?
Right.
What clientele? You mean the participants?
Are very good.
Yes, they are.
We are waiting for our man to step up. Now, it's his second year.
Yeah.
He had four games last year. That offensive line was Swiss cheese. He started this year. Mm-hmm. He's already got two regulars are out. Lane Johnson, Mulata's not back. So he's working things out. Will he get better? Who knows? It's all time.
Yeah.
And we just need to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But think about this. How come we can't even get off the field because we got a defense that can't stop anything? Look at this last game. They got picked apart like they were Swiss cheese.
Yes, they did. They're not good.
No, they are off.
Defensively, they're not good. Their personnel is not real good, which means he's going to have to scheme differently to make his personnel better.
Well, yeah, he has to scheme, but here's the thing. The guy's just admitted in his little press conference that, you know, hey, he doesn't really have the horses.
Yes.
And it's pretty darn obvious that these guys are catching, you know, everybody's receiver, you know, they're running behind them.
Yeah.
They look awful.
Yeah. Because he's got linebackers covering guys instead of an extra dime pack. So but he says he's going to stick with that. He feels more comfortable with the two linebackers in there.
Well, let me tell you something. Outside of Brandon Graham and Cox, you could unload the entire lot.
Well, Cox isn't playing worth the darn this year, bro.
Oh.
He's killing him.
Well, all I know is,
have you not seen that? He's been killing him. He hasn't made any impact at all this year.
Well, let's put it to you this way. Outside of those two guys I mentioned, you could unload the entire lot. They might not even make a CFL team.
Well, I don't know about that. But, see, he's going to have to disguise some things here. He's going to have to bring some guys up, and then if he wants to put him back, he'd back up. But he's not showing anything, really. He's just showing a base where teams look and go, wow, they're in that. Well, here's how we defeat that. Like, he's got to be a little more savvy. If he doesn't have the horses, then, you know, you have to fancy it up somehow.
Unless, I mean, could be saying, I'm going to play these linebackers every game, and if Howie doesn't get me linebackers after this year, that means he's an idiot.
So you think he's putting them on the griddle? You think he's displaying what they don't have?
Yep.
So the front office can see it?
Mm-hmm. And they got to play Dallas one more time. They have linebackers, and they make a difference.
You going to play Savion Glover this week? You know, there's a quicker linebacker. Maybe you can get in there. Right?
Well, it would be nice.
Uh-huh.
It would be nice because the two guys in there have not played well. Savion, it might be time. Mm-hmm.
Maybe time.
You have to try something different. Mm-hmm. He can't just sit there and do the same thing if the results don't change.
Yeah.
But the thinking is, it was just the opponent, and once it's a, quote, fair fight, that's the word that's been out there, fair fight.
Yeah.
Then they'll look totally different. And maybe they will. But if Darnold's picking them apart the same way these other guys are, then do something different, man. You can't just let them score every time.
Yeah. Jerome in West Philly joins us. What's up, Jerome?
Eminem, what's going on?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Hey, what's up, Todd? What's up, Jen?
What's up?
Hey, quick little point. Last time I called, I get a chance to thank you and Tyrone. I seen Jen at the stage, but it was great hanging out with you guys at the. So
always is, brother. Always is with you.
Hey, how much did you win?
How much did I win?
I mean, you ain't got to really give it up, but, you know, you say you was going to the blackjack table. I was like, okay, I
came out a little ahead. Just very little ahead. I got a $100 bill in, you know, when I went to the cashier.
All right, cool.
In addition to some 20s. So, you know, listen, I get out of there. See, when I think, you know, blackjack, I know it's a matter of time. If the monster's coming to eat you. And it's just a matter of you getting out before the monster arrives.
Hey, Mike, I won two at the slots before I came over there. I was like, oh, time to cash out. You know,
you can sense it. You know, cards go bad. They start turning you against you. You go, all right, time to get out. I'd rather be a little ahead than to lose my shirt.
That's where I'm at, Mike. That's how I do it.
Yep.
Hey, look, perfect segue to what I was going to say as far as Jalen Hurts is concerned. The last caller. As far as showcasing talent that you really don't have, how about the quarterback? I don't think this is not his quarterback.
It might not be. I mean, we'll find that out soon enough. I mean, it's a test pattern year for this quarterback, and he didn't select him. So maybe he's not his type of quarterback. I don't know. We'll see. But I think the kid has a chance to win it and win the hearts of the head coach.
Yeah, but if he doesn't have the arm talent, the coach is only like, hey, look, this is what you gave me to work with. So you see it's working a little bit with this. It could work better with a better arm.
Yeah, it's interesting to know how he really feels about that. Now, like I said, maybe he opens up more avenues for Jalen Hurts, and he succeeds in those avenues. We don't know. The only thing we know is right now the knock on him has been X and Y.
Oh, yeah, I feel you. Hey, before my last comment, can you put me on hold? Let me talk back to your screener because we got something to talk about.
Wow. Oh, okay.
All right, my last point.
Uh-huh.
Brothers don't do the French food, and I don't know, I'm not really, you know, on the Italian tip, but I know Italians like to feed you a lot of food. See, brothers can mess with that. When you go to a French restaurant, they give you that little plate, Mike, look like your cell phone. You'd be sitting there like,
oh, yeah. I mean, that goes without saying, but it's part of the whole foo-foo experience. Like, you should be satisfied. It's so excellent that you should be satisfied with the smaller portion because that's the way they eat in France.
You had a McDonald's drive-thru when you leave, though, Mike.
Jerome, I got you. Hold on. I'll put you on hold. Yeah, but that's part of the whole foo-foo-esque of the French. Yeah.
No, no, you're incorrect. What? The whole part of the French food is the richness of the food. That's why they don't give you a lot.
Yeah, I know. It's all
so rich. It's going to fill you up because it's so
it's not going to fill me up.
It's creamy and, you know, it's like the opposite food of what I like.
All right.
A shot glass of sauce. Oh, it's rich, so it'll fill you up. That's not enough food. Now, that's true. Even at the good steakhouses. Mike, we had a nice dinner last year. Pre-COVID, we had a nice dinner or whatever that was.
The Engine.
Very nice.
Yeah, what was it called? Yeah, that place. Engine, was it?
No.
No? What was it? The one on Broad Street.
Ladder.
It was a ladder?
Yeah.
I thought it was Engine. I thought it was maybe.
No.
Ladder.
No.
One of them.
Steak 48.
Steak 48, that's right. Steak 48.
But either way, you got enough food. Like, even a steakhouse, we went to Morton's, wherever we go.
Mm-hmm.
You get enough food. At a steakhouse. When I get the salmon, even at a steakhouse, they bring you enough food to where you're not starving when you leave. That's not an unfair, and that costs money. It's not cheap, I'm saying, but you get enough food to be full.
And I would rather pay that money.
The small portion of it doesn't bother me as much as what the small portion is. And the small portion is rabbit, or it's quail, or
duck,
whatever. Fish. Now, I'm not anti-duck. I will eat duck.
Okay.
But it's just that it's served, game bird. They're very game birdish.
The French are.
Right.
Yeah.
And,
they like their little birds.
Right. They like their little birds.
It's true.
Quail
and
eggs.
And they like their little rabbits.
Quail eggs.
Right. Little quail eggs and stuff like that. And I go, it's not me.
Good food.
Let's take a break. We got Dave Zingaro going to join us at 4 o'clock. And also, stay tuned for your Fanatic kickoff cash giveaway coming up right after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4 o'clock hour, Landis Block brings it to us, your one-stop shop. The graded jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at LandisBC.com. Well, the defense coordinator spoke today and tried to explain a couple things and why they've continued to play that too high safety without an extra defensive back. And it sounded very accusatory to me. But let's see what our next guest says about it. He covers the Eagles for NBC Sports Philadelphia. He has joined us many times. He joins us today. His name is Dave Zangaro. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good. Now, Dave, I just heard the defensive coordinator say that a hint that he really doesn't have the horses to play dime packages. Now, that's an interesting reveal there.
Yeah, it certainly is interesting. And really, look, I think we all understand that the Eagles have personnel limitations on the defensive side of the ball. Absolutely. But my rebuttal to that would be, could it get worse? I mean, they gave up 42 points. They didn't stop the Chiefs at all. And, you know, I think the two things that I kind of walked away from that press conference thinking about were, yeah, the one thing he said, I don't think we're a dime team right now. And the other is, you know, they've been in so much deep cover two looks because they want to stop the big plays. And then, you know, their run defense has obviously suffered because of it. The alternative can't be worse. And if it is, like, at least try it. Right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because you just gave up 42 points. The Chiefs scored on all but one of their drives. So I don't understand why you won't try it. Maybe the dime thing, I don't know. Maybe Josiah Scott's the answer if they feel like but that was a kind of a strange thing for me to hear that, and without really an explanation, I guess he wants to hold that close for whatever reason, but it raised an eyebrow for me for sure.
Yeah, well, is it a subliminal message or not so subliminal to the front office that, hey, look what you gave me two linebackers that I really can't use, that and I don't have a dime. You drafted a guy and in practice it doesn't seem like he can play, so what do you want from me?
I don't know, but you know, that's his job. Is like, this is the roster they have. It's his job to cover up blemishes, and I guess he feels like that's what he's doing by some of these looks, but it's clearly not working. Now, it'll be really interesting to see if things change against other offenses. The last 2 weeks, they've obviously faced, you know, high-flying offenses that can kill you through the air. They've killed them both ways the past couple of weeks. It'll be interesting to see if he shifts at all. Certainly, look, the personnel is an issue, and we've known it's an issue for a while. I think the last couple of weeks, the linebacker position has really been exposed, and it makes you think, like, and my last question to Gannon today, I snuck in there, was about Davion Taylor, because this is a guy who was a third-round pick last year. I know he's a project, but if you're going to be out there with linebackers stinking up the joint anyway, it might as well be a young third-round pick. Maybe if he gets healthier, he'll start to get a bigger role. But, yeah, there's a talent problem on defense for sure. But it's also fair to say Gannon hasn't done enough to cover up some.
What do you think he can do this week to make adjustments? Because I got to feel that there's now pressure on him to make adjustments, even if it comes from the head coach. And it is a quarterback who's not as dangerous. So what do you think he could do here?
Yeah, I think it kind of like naturally lends itself this week to changing things. Because like you mentioned, they're not facing – Sam Darnold's been okay down there. But this offense is not – it's not the Chiefs. It's not the Cowboys. The big question for me this week is if Christian McCaffrey's playing, then it kind of shifts it even more. I just think we haven't seen enough variety from this defense. And he says he doesn't have a scheme. And maybe that's true. I think that's a lot of semantic stuff. But he clearly has tendencies that we've seen early in this season. And I'll tell you, the cover two stuff, I get it. I understand you don't want to get beat over the top, but it's kind of been a death by a thousand paper cuts right now, and it's hard to watch. So maybe that's a personnel thing, too. You know, you have guys who can play in the box, but, you know, traditionally in their careers, Anthony Harrison, Rodney McLeod have kind of been the deeper safety role. So maybe that's a problem, but they have to change something. I mean, you can't keep – they've given up, we're talking about 76 points in two games from the defense. You can't go on like that, so – It's a big moment for Jonathan Gannon, who I've been really bullish on. I know that he was a hot name in the hiring cycle. He would have been a defensive coordinator elsewhere if the Eagles didn't hire him. So this is a guy that came here with a reputation, and we need to see more from him. I know that the personnel is limited, but it's a big moment for him.
Let me ask you, this is just something that I formulated in my head. You have two young coaches here trying to prove themselves. One's the head coach, one's the defensive coordinator, selected by the head coach. It seems to me that neither of them want to get burned by being risky, because they're trying to root here. And if they get burned by being risky, like, that's not a safety zone for them with this fan base.
Yeah, that's a good thought, Mike. And I hadn't thought of them together in that way. But I guess that's true. You have Gannon on defense not wanting to get beat over the top. And he's certainly not blitzing a lot. And look, I don't think that's the solution either. I know a lot of fans want blitz, 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 blitz. And I get why he's not doing that. I think he could mix in some more, and he could find creative ways to blitz.
They only really did it twice. They brought extra rushers twice.
And the one time they did, they brought, I think it was Avante from the nickel spot, and they got burned over top on that deep ball. So I understand that. But you're right. It's been kind of a very conservative approach from both of them. And to me, the more troubling conservative approach is from Nick Sirianni on offense. In a game like that, you're kicking field goals against the Chiefs. You can't do it. And there have been some situations where, look, I think the entire league is kind of going toward being more aggressive. And it makes sense. There are so many situations where going for it on a fourth down makes more sense than not going for it. And I think that plays out over time to be a more effective strategy. And this is a team that we know the franchise wants to be analytics driven. And a lot of times it feels like he's on the conservative side of that. And it makes you wonder how the franchise and the higher-ups view that.
We're talking to Dave Zangaro. He covers the Eagles for NBC Sports Philly. Dave, Fletcher Cox, we can see he's struggling, obviously. Are there whispers inside the building that are saying the same thing?
I don't know that, Mike, but I can tell you it's not good enough from him. And it's fair to say he's garnered a lot of attention. He is getting doubled a lot. The difference is Fletcher Cox of, you know, the last few years before this was able to fight through some double teams, and he was able to still make things happen in the stat sheet. It's not enough for Fletcher Cox to be a player getting double teams. Sure, that's a good thing. It's a good thing that you have a guy who gets that attention to free up one-on-ones, but that can't be all that Fletcher Cox does. He has to start making plays on his own, and we've seen a drop-off here from him. And I'm kind of curious if he can get back to a level of play that I'm not even talking about, you know, prime Fletcher Cox. Who knows? Maybe those days are over, but he has to be more productive than he's been the last few weeks. To have five tackles through four games, it's not acceptable. It's just not for someone who has a $100 million contract and who's supposed to be the centerpiece of this defense. This defense doesn't work if Fletcher Cox isn't dominant up front, especially not without Brandon Graham gone.
Let's talk about the other missing man, and that's on offense, Miles Sanders. Does the head coach just not really appreciate him? Like, is there anything there that Miles Sanders is not really being held in high favor here, at least early going?
Yeah, it's a weird deal early in the season, especially it's not just the Miles hasn't been utilized. It's been in this last game, we saw the rookie all of a sudden start to get all these touches and look really good. And it makes you start to question, well, wait a minute, maybe Miles doesn't exactly fit what Sirianni wants to do. And that's a troubling thought because, you know, Nick came here and said, I want to make this offense and build it around my best players. Coming into the season, I think we all kind of assumed Miles Sanders was one of those best players, and that hasn't been the way it's worked out so far. He's tried to explain it away by saying, you know, we have a lot of these option plays, specifically the RPOs, have been, you know, run plays for Miles that get pulled and they end up being passes. And I guess there's some truth to that, but then you can call a run for Miles Sanders, and they haven't done a lot of that. So Kind of curious. I still think he can be an explosive runner. But I think they have to find ways at least to get him a little bit more involved in the offense than he's been the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I totally get it. All right, last question. Who do you expect to be starting on the offensive line this weekend? Do you have any idea? Is it too early?
I mean, the biggest question is about Lane Johnson, and everyone's been very tight-lipped about that situation. So without knowing that, it's hard to tell. If he does play, then obviously he'll be a right tackle, and you'd assume you'll have Jack Driscoll at right guard, Landon Dickerson at left guard, Kelsey obviously at center. And we'll see about Mailata, if he's able to practice this week. They didn't put him on IR, which kind of tells you they think it's not going to be a long-term injury. But we just haven't seen anything from him yet. He's been walking around with a brace on that right knee. If he can play, that would help. But Dillard's actually played all right in the couple of games. The big question is about Lane. And if Lane's out there, Driscoll will be a right guard. If not, Driscoll will have to be a right tackle again.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. We'll see what happens this weekend. This is kind of a must-win situation, I would think, right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, Mike. We talked after the 49ers game, and I was really harsh on them after that game because you can't let wins slip through your fingers, and I thought that was a game they were in a situation to win, and we knew what the schedule was going to look like after that. And sure enough, that started the three-game losing streak, and you have Tom Brady looming after this game. This is a winnable game. You know, Christian McCaffrey, his status will matter, but this is a winnable game against a team that started off 3-0 but didn't play great competition and got exposed a little bit last week against Dallas. So I'm not going to say it's a must-win, but this would certainly help.
Yeah. All right, Dave, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
Dave Zangaro, covering the Eagles, Comcast Business Hotline. So there you go. Some strange doings here with this defensive coordinator and it would be mindless not to change anything as you go into this game, right? You'd have to have some up your sleeve.
Right, and if he doesn't want to blitz, okay, because then it comes out hot and you have your safeties high. Like, I get it, but you have to do something different. He doesn't have to tell us.
Yeah.
But we can't just see the double high safety, no extra pressure, and get picked apart. And it's happened again. They say, like, oh, they're giving up yards per pass play is short. Yet, they got 9 out of 10 on third down. They still got what they wanted. Mm-hmm. Maybe it took a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But if they're getting 7 yards per carry, who the hell cares if they can't push it downfield? Because they're going to score anyway. It's just, I don't know. Also, if you're not, I'm from the old school where if you didn't have a good defense, you would take risk to try to force turnovers. They don't do any of that.
Yeah.
Like, if you know you're going to give up points anyway, take a risk. Maybe you get a fumble or an interception and you win the game by winning the turnover battle because you're undermanned. He doesn't seem to want to do that either. So it's like, just let it happen is his style.
Well, maybe we'll see. His name is Davion Taylor. I've been calling him Savion Glover because every time I hear Davion, I think of Savion.
Yeah.
From the old Sesame Street.
But you are absolutely right, though.
Yeah.
Year two, if he's healthy... We know now, Singleton, it's nice, but he's a special teams player. I don't want to be cruel.
Yeah.
I don't think he's a starting linebacker in this league. I don't think they have one. If he's their only hope of having one on the roster, also off the air, I asked Dave Gonzalez, why not play a safety at that linebacker spot if you're going to play two lot?
Yeah.
Like, why not bring Epps, and now that McLeod's back, put Epps at one of the linebacker spots so that you have a better chance of covering.
Yeah.
That would be something he could try, too, without playing the extra corner.
Yes.
But he hasn't tried any of that.
No, but he hasn't. All right. Rick and Glenn Mills joins us. What's up, Rick?
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, man. How you doing, buddy?
We have a question about what we just heard from Dave.
Yeah.
Do you think that, especially defensively, but overall, that they're just sort of playing this out to get all the draft picks they have lined up and for next year and to do the trust the process thing? I mean,
I don't think you could have, listen, it's going to happen organically anyway. I think you want to try to show your fan base that the staff knows what they're doing and it's at stake with the quarterback. They got to find out if the quarterback can play. So it's not like you can't what are you going to find out if you're just playing at the string and want to lose for draft picks? Like, what are you going to find out about your quarterback?
Right. Well, Mike, also, if you thought the duck press was bad, I have a French delicacy to run by you.
Oh, God.
It's called the Ortolan Bunting, O-R-T-O-L-A-N. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No, I haven't.
You can Google it. It's on there. The Ortolan's a French bird. It's about the size of a sparrow. Fits in the palm of your hand. And it has become illegal because of the way they prepare these birds to eat. The first thing they do is they get the bird, which is illegal now. You can't harvest them or breed them or anything because they're endangered.
Yeah.
And what they do is they blind the bird by gouging its eyes out and putting it in a thing, a big sack of bird food, Ortolan food, whatever that is. And because the bird can't see its way out of the bag, it eats, it gorges itself. It just eats and eats and eats and becomes fat. Then what they'll do is they'll take the fat Ortolan out and they'll put it in a vat or a big container of very, very high-level French brandy. And the bird will drown in the brandy and thus
what I mean? They have no respect for the species. It's all about the taste that it's going to be in their gullet because there's no foo-foo.
Exactly.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you for that image, Rick. Rick, I lost him. Rick, you still there? Ah, damn it. Rick, call back. Call back, Rick. You're going to qualify for the jersey.
Yeah, Dan, if he calls he had so much information.
Yeah, Rick, if you're still listening, call back. Actually, call a contest line so you don't get behind anybody. Yeah. Rick, call 215-263-0975, and we're going to qualify you for that information.
Yeah, Dan will take care of him. Yeah, that was good information, but terrible. Like, see this?
It's awful.
When I was younger, maybe I wouldn't have cared about that. Hearing that, and I know it's not pleasant how any of our food is not pleasant, but it does feel something like that's extra.
No respect for the species. It's all about the foo-foo way of preparing for the people.
Yeah, like I know a lot of people that eat duck, the majority of people that actually eat duck, go out with their, like Carson Wentz style, shoot the duck, take it home, feather, and cook it. That's what most people do. The restaurants do something different. That I can live with because it's one shot. The duck doesn't feel a thing. You move on with your life. This is cruel.
Yeah, that's awful.
Well, this is cruel. They're little bird people. You gotta pick through to like get the little meat. Like what? I don't get the little bird thing.
Did you ever watch the show Billions?
Yes.
Okay. Evidently, he ate those birds. Axe ate those birds in one of the episodes.
A duck is like a dinosaur compared to the other birds they prepare.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Like, what are next? Are they going to start eating hummingbirds?
Oh, they probably do. There probably is a delicacy. They probably cook any kind of bird. Any French chef will prepare a foo-foo bird.
Nothing's more foo-foo than the hummingbird.
Oh,
well, of course.
Yeah, think about it. Beautiful coloring. They probably find a way to put one feather in the little meat. Just so you can see that it used to be this beautiful blue bird.
Oh, stop it.
Well, then don't get mad at us.
What I'm saying is,
if
I'm commissioner of the world, I have respect for it, you know? You got to be as big as a cow for me to eat you.
Well, a pig.
Okay. A pig.
Or a pig.
Some pigs are as big as cows.
Some of them.
Yeah.
But usually with them, they kill them in not all places. Let's do it semi-humanely.
Let's eat regular chicken. Let's eat regular beef. And regular pig and call it a day.
And regular fish.
Right, and regular fish and call it a day.
I agree. Yeah. I don't need all this extra torture food.
I don't need lamb sweetbreads.
Oh, I don't need torture food, but I like lamb.
You like lamb sweetbreads?
Not sweetbreads.
I'm
going to
get the pancreas of the lamb and prepare it all nice for you in a French way?
I like liver, but not pancreas. No, thank you.
I'm anti-organ.
I grew up with my dad eating liver.
Organs are off limits.
I grew up eating organs. I don't eat them. I stopped. There's a lot of things I stopped eating once I figured out what they were.
I ain't eating no organs.
Growing up.
I know, like, old school Italian, you eat the heart, you know? They put the heart in spaghetti sauce. I've seen that done.
I was about to ask you.
Oh, sure.
My old
grandpa, you know, the immigrant grandparents, they put the heart, they put everything in there.
They say it's better for the flavoring. That's what the old school people... That's what Ray Rossi's wife once told me.
Well, of course.
His lovely wife.
Yes. I am from a different...
I'm not blaming you. I'm saying I've heard it.
Yes. I've seen it done.
Ugh. Grizzly.
Goat's brains. I've seen it all.
In a sauce, you would never even know that it's there.
I know exactly what it is. Looks like a little heart.
No.
Yeah, it does.
You wouldn't just throw the whole heart in. You'd mix it up.
No, you put the heart in there. It's an organ to put the heart, throw the heart right in there.
It simmers.
Chicken heart.
Yeah, she told me it simmers, and then it flavors comes out, and it infuses the sauce.
Exactly.
Okay.
Ray Rossi's wife.
That's sketchy. She's exactly right. I've seen it done, the heart. Would you like, in fact, grandmother goes, who would like the heart? They take it out of the soul. Who would like the heart?
Ooh.
No, that's right in there with the meatballs and the sauce. Who likes the heart?
I couldn't do it.
610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, time for a Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Jennifer Squirto. Jen?
Okie dokie. What is your confidence in Jalen Hurts after eight starts? 7% future below average quarterback. 11% say future franchise quarterback. 34% now, that's up a little bit, future average quarterback. And 48% future good QB.
All righty. Thank you very much. By the way, we haven't talked to Ben Simmons about Ben Simmons today. There were a couple things. They were talking about, on Anthony's show, Indiana Pacers, possible trade. And I don't think that this would be the trade, but they were saying that Sabonis and LeVert would work.
You got to flip Sabonis, though.
Yeah. Unless you play him at a four and you have Tobias is your three.
Yeah, no, it won't work because it's Al Horford all over again.
Yeah, it could be.
It's Al Horford all over again. I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
Unless, I mean, Sabonis, he's an all-star. You can find a home for him. So I got to find what that third team is that will take Sabonis. Sabonis is an all-star, but I don't think him and Embiid could play together. So it's a waste.
Brogdon involved in any kind of deal?
They talk about Brogdon and LeVert. That would be, it'd be acceptable. I wouldn't be happy because I don't think
that's not enough in your view, LeVert and Brogdon?
It may have to be, but I don't think they could beat the Nets. Well, the Nets are trouble. Like, today, Kyrie, obviously we're not at New York station, so we didn't talk about it. Kyrie couldn't even practice today because he's not allowed in the building. And unlike Wiggins, who folded and did the right thing and then said, whined about it after the fact, you know, Mr. Principal had no principles, surprise, surprise. Kyrie actually isn't still not. And maybe they're good enough to where that wouldn't matter, but it seems like not being able to play home games or practice with your team kind of matters.
Yeah.
But I still don't know if you beat the Nets or the Bucks with LeVert and Brogdon. Maybe you do.
Yeah. I think you'd have a shot. But speaking of Ben, so an ex took kind of a shot at him today. If you want to read hard enough into that, Tinashe took a shot.
Yeah.
Now, what did she tweet out?
Well, I can't use the language. She's
okay. Well, what was her? She referred to something about a foul shot.
Yes. This blank. Too easy, like a free throw. I believe it's from one of her songs, but I think she tweeted it out to take a little...
to take a shot at Ben.
Little shot at the ex, a little bit.
Huh.
Little jab while he's down. Wise Mel kick him. You're the ex. Well, listen, the way the timeline goes, they're together, everything seems happy.
Yeah.
Till he felt like he was getting an upgrade with a more famous girl.
So he dumped her.
Yes.
To go with the...
With Kendall.
Kendall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
And apparently, you know, she waited till revenge is best served cold. I bet she's the lot the last we hear of her.
Okay.
Yeah, she was back here for Made in America. She stayed quiet. She's picking her spots. I respect a woman who picks her spots. I do.
Maybe it means nothing.
Could mean nothing.
Yeah, maybe it's
doubtful.
Could be nothing, but I tell you what.
Is she still wounded?
It's not about wounded. It's like perhaps the way he did it was.
Uh-huh. Did she move on with somebody?
Look at, I don't know. She, unfortunately, she's not that famous.
Yeah.
But look how Ben's breaking up with the Sixers. You think he broke up with her in a kind, civil way? He's like the guy that Elaine was with that says things like that she had a big head. When Kramer had to cough and he was acting like a dog because he took the dog medicine.
Yeah.
He might break up with people like that guy.
Because he's a bad breaker upper.
Yeah, because he doesn't have human emotions. Mm-hmm. He might have said it in a real callous way. She's like not upset about it. She's just like, oh.
Interesting.
Oh, you're home. He did put on Instagram finally his shoes in a gym by himself.
His shoes?
Like he's just, you just see, it's a picture of his sneakers.
Oh. Okay. Well.
That's what he put in as his update. He went radio silent for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And now his story, it's since expired.
I'd be getting awful lonely out there for my man. You think it get a little lonely?
Well.
Without Ball?
I'm just wondering, some of those friends, are they real friends or are they basketball friends where they're now with their players that are like their other guys who actually are playing in the league? I don't know.
Are the pool friends still coming over? At least.
He hasn't posted.
Man, no pool party pictures.
No. I hope his friends are still have his back, and I hope they just are honest with him and say, you know, you're kind of like retired right now, bro. You're a little young to be retired.
I don't think they're saying that.
Well, they should.
He's saying, you got another pina colada around by the pool?
Yeah.
All right, let's go Larry in Princeton. Larry, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Larry.
Hey, guys. Hey, Ty, I hear that ortolan is a dish best served hot.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Ortolan is a dish best served hot.
Oh, ortolan. The little bird. Yeah.
The little bird, yeah.
The blind bird who pecks itself drinks itself to death.
Sorry about it. I got a duck price story for you at the end of this.
But, oh, no.
I was watching the Sixers game last night. I'm a little bit north of Princeton, so I only get New York stations here, so I had to watch the Toronto broadcast crew, and boy, the play-by-play guy sucks there.
Uh-huh.
But I realize it's the only first preseason game, but I'm a little disappointed by the three-point shooting last night.
Yeah, they didn't shoot the ball well. It's first game, though.
Yeah.
You know, Tobias Harris wasn't in the lineup. They didn't have the right spacing. I'll be honest with you, I can't react to anything in the preseason.
Yeah, good point. I think that Maxey and Thybul having played, or at least Thybul playing in the Olympics, that he might have gotten a little bit better developed than that, but not yet.
It's not yet. I don't know if that comes natural to him. Like one Olympic experience isn't going to turn him into a three-point shooter.
Yeah. So, about 40 years ago, I'm old, my brother and I did a trip to France to hit as many Michelin 3 stars as we could.
Two stars
and 3 stars.
Yeah.
And the best meal of the trip was actually at a 2-star about 2 hours south of Paris in a little town called, 10th century town called Vézelay.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a fantastic meal, a country home that it was just, and you know, the thing is, it's like a 5 or 6 course meal.
Yeah.
So you leave stuffed. But then about 5 years later, I took my then girlfriend with me to France and I made a reservation to go back to this place because it was so fantastic. Well, what had happened in the meantime is they had been elevated from a 2-star to a 3-star and the chef had gotten a little bit big with himself and the restaurant had been completely redone and really just way too elegant and the silver platters coming up when they served the meal that they didn't have before. But I noticed this thing next to our table. And there was another American couple at the table next to us, and they had ordered something. And the maitre d' comes over and takes this cart with this brass thing over to their table. And I asked what that was, and they said, it's a duck press. So the couple had ordered the pressed duck. Now, I'm not sure whether it was cooked. I think it was lightly cooked.
Apparently, it's cooked. That is an ultra-long story, so we had to move on. I was watching Benjamin Button there for that story. I think it's people are telling me that it's roasted. But the blood is still involved because it's not fully cooked, and so you get residue of blood. And apparently the restaurant I'm talking about that I gave the review for, the owners listen to the show. So
they do?
Yeah, that's what I saw on Twitter.
So what are you doing?
Well, I messed me up out here.
I might want to go there.
I do want to go there.
I didn't mention the restaurant.
Oh, yeah, we didn't.
We didn't mention the restaurant. No. I referred to another restaurant that I went to back in the day, which is no longer there. This restaurant has been, it's brand new. It's opened brand new in Collingdale.
Well, they might want me to go there. I don't think they want the two of you to go there.
Collingswood.
In fact, he just tweeted me.
Oh, he did?
It is Collingswood.
Yes. He says, come and get it, Mike. Well, and he's got the picture of the duck.
Now.
It's the roasted duck. Yeah, he sent me a photo from his restaurant. I'll just put his name in. His name is Richard Cusack.
Hmm.
And he owns the restaurant with his wife. They seem like a lovely young couple. They're in their 30s.
Yeah, and I ain't beef with them.
No, and he just sent me. The restaurant looks beautiful. Yeah. And he sent me the duck in the roasting pot that is now will undergo the press.
Oh,
he sent it right.
Confirmed.
But that makes
right.
A big,
he's got
for
the,
me,
the roasted duck is in the pot and it's right next to the press.
Makes a big difference for
huge
me.
Huge difference, yeah.
And then with that, I guess it's no problem. I will say online, the people that like French food, they really like it.
Yeah, I know a lot of people who like the French food. For me, It's a tad foo-foo-esque, and I'm not a foo-foo-sman.
Yeah, but they're saying that even the way he speaks, he says, real French food is simply prepared with the best of ingredients.
Wow.
He's talking about a duck l'orange.
Yeah. That's a good meal right there. That's old school French.
Duck l'orange.
Yeah.
Old school French.
Apparently that's out. They don't do that in restaurants anymore. Proper French restaurants, you can't get a duck l'orange.
Duck l'orange.
You can't get that anymore.
Yeah.
Apparently that's passé.
Yeah.
That's what these people that go to French cuisine, I got to take their word for it, because what do I know?
Yeah. Okay. well, congratulations to the people, to the folks, and I hope the restaurant's very successful.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah.
And apparently a lot of the food is butter-based.
Oh, everything.
Oh, yeah, butter. Very, very heavy
that's
butter.
That's why it's so rich.
Very
yeah.
heavy butter, creamy. Rich.
Doesn't have to be creamy.
Well,
you got but nice, it is
you
very
get a
rich.
Nice baguette.
Oh, yeah.
With all that butter, I got to be able to dip.
The bread, yeah.
Is dipping allowed?
Sure.
Because I like
anything's
to dip.
Allowed. I mean, it's frou-frou, anything's allowed.
I don't know. You like to dip the bread into the escargot buttery garlic
base.
Yes.
I'm okay
the best
with that.
Part of it.
But I don't want somebody at the next table to look at this guy over here dipping the bread wrong.
Oh, you don't feel that way.
You're probably going to get judged.
Yeah. Who cares? Go in there and do what you want. Just don't make a scene.
Yeah, that's the whole thing about the French
the
restaurant.
The frou-frouiness.
You're going to get judged.
No.
Yeah? You got to have your P's and Q's straight.
Yeah, see, I don't know.
610-632-0975. It's a quick hit and back with your calls after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
446, Mike Missinelli Show. Don't forget, we're giving away an Ivan Provorov jersey, and he wore it, and he signed it. If you bring some really good content, the computer will recognize it, and the computer will spit out the following.
Oh, man.
That's right. And you will qualify to win the Flyers jersey, since we are in hockey season already. Another game tonight. Your Flyers, there was a Sixer game last night. I'm just looking at the box score, and the three-point shooting was, you know, not great. They were 8 for 34, in fact. That's only 23.5%. When you look at it, Ferky got a few up. Oh, the Ferk man took 8 threes last night, Tyrone.
He was gunning. He didn't pass the ball not one time.
5 for 15, 1 for 8. Isaiah Joe, though, said, yeah, but Cork, 4 for 8.
No.
Last night from three.
He's a flat better shooter than him. I'm telling you, Doc, just make the switch now for your bench wing. He's a better shooter. This guy has, anywhere in the gym, he has deep range. He's a better shooter than Korkmaz.
0 for 2 for Niang and Danny Green. Danny Green in 10 minutes managed to be a minus 24. Thanks for showing up.
A lot of that was Drummond. They were good when Drummond was in early. And when Drummond came out, the game got away from him. But in that situation, Embiid would be playing.
Yeah.
And then Drummond would be the backup. So
Maxie 0 for 2. Seth Curry made a couple last night.
Yeah, yeah. And they didn't play the second half.
B-Ball Paul threw up 2.
Yeah.
0 for 2. Thibault was 0 for 3. Shaker Rooney, 1 for 6 and 1 for 3. Thibault was a minus 23.
Yeah.
All right, and who's Riller?
He's not going to make the roster.
I don't even know who it is. Grant Riller?
Yeah, they just
where
got
he from?
Well, I don't know where he's from.
College of Charleston. Oh, all right. Let's go to the phones. Dane in Collegeville. Dane, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dane.
Hey, Mike, Tyrone, Jen, good afternoon.
What's up, Dane?
Thanks for taking my call. Nothing much. Good conversation, a conversation that needs to actually happen. I'm going to start with the home decor for the husbands or the men.
Mm-hmm.
My wife, about, say, 3 years ago, she used to be all into it. It was all over the house. And about 3 years ago, she was like, you know what? This, you know, hanging stuff everywhere is kind of not going to work. And you get to a point, Mike, where you can fight a battle or you don't have to fight that battle if she, you know, you meet in the middle with it.
Mm-hmm.
This is how it works in my household. It doesn't work like that for everybody. So
I would expect that that's the right thing to do. The way, like, if the woman wants to have a presentable looking house that's looking like a house instead of a sport emporium, then you trust her judgment.
I did.
Yeah.
She made the right choices. You know, I have my area where all the sports stuff goes and it works, you know. Touching on the Jalen Hurts, being a black quarterback, Mike, I think in the city, if you have the arm, if the legs, you can read the defenses and do the job correctly. I hear you when you say there's a sentiment going around that, you know, is it because he's a black quarterback? I had this discussion with one of my cousins. He was like, yo, you got to lay off of him a little bit. And I'm like, yo, I just want my quarterback to, you know, make the throws when the throws are there, not read the first read and then run and just, you know, hit open people and be efficient at his job is what I'm looking for. And he's like, well, everybody doesn't have a bazooka arm, Dane. And I'm like, I don't need him to have a bazooka arm, you know?
I think it's natural that black fans want Jalen Hurts to succeed for obvious reasons. But a quarterback in general undergoes tremendous judgment.
Oh, man.
Oh, and Dane, guess what? You're going to qualify for New Jersey, by the way. You know, the quarterback position in itself, tremendous judgment. Wentz was hammered last year, right? If you're not doing right by your fan base, the judgment is gonna come down, I think.
The thing I like that I saw from Wentz that I don't see from Hurts, he doesn't look like he holds on to the ball. Something that you also said, and this is a point, Mike, that I see, the windows that were open in the Kansas City game because the cornerbacks were giving him a little bit more room,
mm-hmm.
I think the Carolina DBs are actually going to get into the wide receivers. And that window is like a half a window.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. And like, again, this is a week-to-week process, Dane. We're going to put you on hold. Thank you. You're qualifying for the jersey. And like, you know, like, he could develop those skills as we go along. And I'm fully open to that. I'm just looking at it like right now, what held him back from being a first-round pick? Well, there was X judgment. All right, so what holds him back now from them doing some things with him during this particular season? Well, it's Y judgment, and that doesn't mean that the skills can't come to him.
Right.
So, you know, it's really kind of elemental. Tom in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom.
Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Tom?
Feeling great after just getting my monthly spa pedicure.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. And Jen, by the way, I love rabbit, too.
It's delicious.
In my younger days, I unfortunately have given up hunting at this point, but in my younger days, squirrel was even better.
Oh, my God.
But more tastier,
Tom,
more tender.
Come on, man.
No.
You were eating squirrel? Like, what? Why? Why were you eating squirrel?
Because it was good. And it was,
well, like, who was catching the squirrels to prepare it?
We had 22s. We were hunting.
You hunted squirrels and then skinned them and cooked them?
Yes.
All right, well.
But as for my favorite dishes now, two of them are, I would say, flounder franchise, mm-hmm. trout almondine, and my number one go-to is Dover sole.
All right, you like a nice fish.
I do.
Yeah, very nice. Tyrone likes a nice fish, too.
I love Tyrone, but he's got to stop it with the Freedom Fries. The French were our first ally.
Yeah, but they bailed.
Cut and run.
Yeah, that's right. And then they went out the side door.
Now, to the Eagles' point. With Jalen Hurts, he still has to show me that he can make that rifle throw, 30-yarder, where he's throwing across his body and hitting somebody on the run with a 30-yard, like, rifle shot.
Mm-hmm.
And also, on the accuracy, he really did cost us two touchdowns with the Ertz play in the right on the first drive and mm-hmm. then throwing wide to Ward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe Ward could have got his hand on the ball, but he had so much separation. He was 5 yards.
You got to put that ball on him there. You can't. That's not a lead throw where he's going to have to stretch his arms. There's no reason for that.
And finally, Mike, see if you agree with me on this. I think the Eagles have to reevaluate the linebacker position. They've just paid no attention to that position whatsoever.
Well, they drafted the one guy that they don't put on the field a couple years ago because they thought he had the quickness to play and be a dynamic linebacker.
But now the linebackers are staying back 6 to 8 yards. By the time they make a tackle, it's an 8-yard
game. They're not a good linebacking core. They're not instinctive. They seem to be a step behind the play. Like, you know, instinctive linebackers, they get right into that spot. You know, they feel it. And all right, the running play's coming here. Boom, I'm here. I stopped that guy right at the line of scrimmage or even a yard or two behind the line of scrimmage. You haven't seen that at all, this linebacking core. So maybe Davion Taylor would add that kind of a mystique. I think you got to try some stuff right now. You got to scheme. You got to try different personnel. You know, what do you get to lose at this point? 610-632-0975. The 5 o'clock hour, always my favorite hour. It's the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5. The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
5 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show. We're still going to qualify some people here in the 5 o'clock hour for the autographed Ivan Provorov jersey. And all you have to do is bring some really good content. Our computer will pick up on it. Our computer will sound something off and you'll qualify for it. As simple as that. 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. You get 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay it off interest free. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDE or visit goguida.com. Now, Tyrone, let's start the 5 o'clock hour with you informing the people about the cow that's on the loose somewhere here in the Delaware Valley.
Apparently a broad and eerie. There was a cow.
A broad and eerie.
Yes, was running. A cow was running
at Broad and Erie. If anybody knows the connection, is it somebody's pet? Is there a nearby farm at Broad and Erie? Like, where could it be?
I don't know.
Is it somebody's personal cow that gives them milk in the morning?
It's weird because I know that there are city horses. Because I remember my grandfather's first horse that he bought, he bought from one of the city places in the city.
Right.
But I don't know about cows. And they were listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, doing the video of the cow running by.
Anthony's show was on in the background.
It's
hysterical. See the video.
It's
so funny. You can hear the children.
So has the cow been captured?
I don't have an update on the cow.
Well, somebody's got to know about the cow in that area. He's listening out there.
He's in a car. The cow runs. The cow then changes lanes.
The cow knew where he was going.
It seemed like it. Why does the cow know where it's going?
Like the cow could live in the neighborhood. So I'm trying to find out whose cow is it. And I hope they get the cow back safely.
Yeah.
In their yard.
Yeah, and you got to, you know, be careful with your animals.
Yes.
This one's probably not getting enough exercise because this cow was in a full sprint.
Wow. I've never seen a cow in a full sprint. Like, what's this? How fast was the full sprint?
They can move.
They can move pretty good.
Tight end worthy?
Yeah.
Speed? Yeah.
You keep signing him playing at linebacker.
Okay.
He'd find a way into the backfield.
Would the cow be faster than the Eagles have right now, in your estimation?
Well, I don't know if they'd be faster, but I think
they'd fill the hole.
They're built to do that.
Yeah. All right. I meant to mention this today. It was announced today. Sage Steele got suspended for a week.
Was it suspended?
Yeah. Okay. She got suspended only for a week, though, for her controversial remarks on a podcast. And these people, they go on podcasts, they say stuff that doesn't think it's going to become public.
Yeah, Jay Cutler's podcast.
Jay Cutler's podcast. She said she kind of took a shot at Obama by saying, well, I think it's fascinating that he checks black as his ethnicity on the census, considering his black dad was nowhere to be found, but his white mom and grandma raised him. But hey, you do you, I'm going to do me. I don't know why that comment was necessary, but she also went further, and this is probably more dangerous, when she said that she rejects requests from mentoring aspiring female sports reporters who present themselves in what she sees as an overly sexualized manner. So when you dress like that, she says, I'm not saying you deserve the gross comments, but you know what you're doing when you're putting that outfit on, too. Like, women are smart, so don't play coy and put it all on the guys. Now, that's about as anti a movement thing that you can say as a female.
I mean, Sage, what are you doing now? What are you doing now?
She's been criticized by everybody.
Yeah, what are you saying?
And Keith Olbermann.
I don't care however Jen dresses. Because she's in the room with me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't act crazy because she has a sweater on right now because it's freezing in the studio.
Yeah, I mean,
it'd be inappropriate for me to say something. But if she took her jacket off, then am I supposed to, like, come on. Like, you can't even say whatever a woman wants to wear. That doesn't mean a guy can do anything.
Sage doesn't seem like she's really woke at all.
Well, she's definitely not. That's out. Yeah, she looks at that as a bad term.
She should be an educated woman enough to be a little woker.
She doesn't want to be woke, though.
I guess she doesn't.
No,
you know, her dad is from Bristol Township.
Oh, really?
Yeah, her dad is a legendary guy.
Oh.
He was the first African-American player for Army.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I grew up, like, he was one of these fantastic athletes, big, good dude, mm-hmm. and he was all over the local papers, I remember, as a kid.
Right.
In that area. He went to what's now Harry S. Truman High School. It was Woodrow Wilson at the time. He was a legendary guy, and he's a retired corporal, I believe.
Right. So that's pretty good. She also apparently tested positive for COVID.
She did, because she was anti. She made a fuss about the ESPN's vaccine mandate.
Yeah, that was the other thing.
But then she said she received the shot because she didn't want to be removed from programming.
Yeah, saying the shot. I think you had to have one shot to stay working, and I don't think they. We'll find out.
She didn't have the second shot.
We don't know, but she. I don't wish COVID on anybody. She's something.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, let's go to Frank in Harrisburg. Frank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frank.
Hello. I was listening, and you had mentioned that Donovan McNabb would be considered the all-time Eagle quarterback. By the way, I think Jalen Hurts, I believe he could develop into a quarterback that could be around for a while for the Eagles.
You could be right.
Yeah. I was going to ask, you didn't think
McNabb was the all-time?
No, I think McNabb is the all-time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But would you think Randall Cunningham or Jaworski? Would you pick one of those two as the second? I would pick Jaworski, I think. Although I like Cunningham.
I probably would go with Randall, with all due respect to Jaws, although Jaws did play in a Super Bowl. But, I look at Randall's numbers, and I think they're a little better than Jaworski's. I'd have to look on that. But he did so many things, Randall, and was so dynamic.
Right.
it didn't come to fruition here, but I don't know. I'd have to look at the numbers. My hunch would be to go Randall second.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering why he even left the Eagles, because he actually should have taken the Vikings to the Super Bowl. They missed a field goal they should have made.
Yeah, that was his shot right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
The field goal was Gary Anderson missed it, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, the guy was automatic.
Yes, he was. He had not missed a field goal to that point.
Right. In fact, Denny Green would have been the first black coach to get into the Super Bowl at that point.
Yeah, Randall, pretty good. 29,979 yards, 207 touchdowns. That's got to be more than Jaworski.
Yeah, he was probably the second best quarterback for the Eagles all time.
All right, Frank.
All right, thank you.
You got it, buddy. That's pretty good numbers for Randall.
Yeah.
For the Eagles, he threw for 22,877 yards with 105 touchdowns. Devon in Woodbury Heights. Devon?
Yeah,
I always do this. What's up, Devin? Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, man, because we got a Devon here.
Fine.
Yeah.
So I watched the game last night. This is just my personal opinion. You know, I know I'm jumping a gun because it's only been one preseason game, but I really don't think Maxey's ready to lead us to be the leading starting point guard on a championship team yet.
Yeah.
I have a lot of faith in him.
Yeah.
But I still think he's too young, man.
Yeah, you might be right for this year. Now, they didn't play with their full complement of players. So, the thing I worry about is defensively, the difference in the defensive posture you're going to have with him on the floor. But I think he's going to be a really good offensive player for you.
Yes, he will be an good offensive player. The defense did not look that great yesterday. I don't care if it's a preseason, regular season. Doc Rivers is a person that preaches defense all the time. And I just think Danny Green's shot, man. I really do. Like, I don't think he's going to be the same person as he was last year, man.
He's older. I don't know what they're going to get out of him either. But again, you're talking about like preseason game one, where he's just trying to find his way through the preseason and survive it. So I think you're jumping the gun on a preseason game, frankly.
Yeah, that's why I was like kind of skeptical to like this answer, but I just wanted to give my quick opinion. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I got you. You do realize it's the first game, right?
I know. I just miss Sixers so much, man. So,
I get you, but look where you're going with this. First game, you're going, I don't think Maxey's going to cut it, and Danny Green shot, bro.
You're right. I got to have a little more faith. You're right.
Yeah, you just got to take a step back here, my friend. You know?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, and we couldn't qualify you for Jersey for that overreaction as much as we would have liked to.
Danny Green didn't even play in the second half.
No, so he played 10 minutes last night.
He took 10 minutes. Now, maybe he's done, but my point is he took 10 minutes with no Embiid and Harris and decided, he's cooked.
Cooked.
Like, but when he led the league in corner threes last year, shot over 40% from three. It's not like they're asking him to be the number one option. I think Danny Green will always be able to stand in the corner and make open shots. Now, as far as defender, other stuff, they already don't ask him to be a ball handler. Mm-hmm. I think he can stand in the corner and make open shots till he dies.
Yeah.
That's what they really ask him to do.
Yes.
I don't think that's just going to go away that quick.
Yeah, now, defensively, I mean, I don't know how much juice he has in his legs. That's the thing. You're pairing him with a guy who's probably not going to have a defensive presence as early as this year.
And Curry can't defend either.
Right. So that's where my worry goes. That's where it comes back to Ben Simmons. That's where Ben's going, play with those guys. See what you don't think about defense.
But you know what they are going to have with Maxey? If they sag off of it, if they sag off of him like to double and B, he's a willing just offensive participant.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah.
That's to balance it out. If he gets under the basket with Trae Young, he's going to actually try to score, not pass it, and then blame everybody in the world but himself for not doing it, and whine and cry and complain in California like a fraud.
Like a fraud.
He's like a fraud. I'm not playing. And how dare you? It's a declaration of war that you didn't pay me for not working.
Yeah.
Kidding me? Crocodile Dundee?
All right. Let me give you some. I got the numbers here. We compare the quarterbacks for the second slot. This is just out of curiosity here. So we first go with Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
10 years. Team's record with Jaws as a quarterback, 69-67-1.
All right.
Jaws threw for 26,963 yards. He had 175 touchdowns that were 151 in interceptions. And his quarterback rating was 74.
And he made a Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. Randall, 11 years, 63-43-1 was his record.
Wow.
22,877. That's less than Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
150 touchdowns to 105 interceptions. 78.7 rating. Who gets the nod? It's close.
I go, because of the ultimate weapon, because you didn't put in the Russian.
Oh, yeah, the Russian.
Can't ignore that.
Let's see what the rushing totals were here for Randall. Let's see if it has it here. He rushed for 3,133 yards.
Yeah, I got to put that in there. I have to subtract from not taking his playbook with him. That time.
Yeah.
Not bringing his playbook. I think Randall edges him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the record is interesting. 20 games over 500.
I didn't realize he was that much of a winner. Now, no playoff success.
No. You know, it's a toss-up. Maybe one or the other. Brian in Bordentown. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian. Yo, Bri. Brian from Bordentown. That's you. Yeah, it might be a neighbor. Brian, are you there? I hear you. Oh, Brian, we'll call back. I thought I heard a faint.
No, I heard
connection
something
in there. Yeah. Brian, I don't know. You weren't ready. Greg in Lancaster is, though. What's up, Greg? You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, like Gregor?
I'd like to start out by saying Diane and I are huge fans of Tyrone. We like his perspective. But I want to say the Eagles are just not a playoff team. That's the reality.
And who's Diane? Your wife?
Yeah, Diane's my wife.
Okay, well, I didn't know. You threw Diane. You said me and Diane, and I just wanted to make sure I know who she is.
Yeah, Diane's my wife.
Okay.
We're huge Tyrone fans.
Okay, that's awesome.
We like his perspective, uh-huh. And we tolerate yours, Mike.
Wow.
Yeah, I just
slay me with a knife to the heart, brother.
No, yeah, we're just kidding. The Eagles are not a playoff team.
Uh-huh.
And that's just the bottom line.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going out on a limb there, you and Diane, with that assessment.
Well,
but
well,
you know what I'm saying?
But you were totally right yesterday. You talk about Nick Sirianni. He's not, like, he should be ready from the get-go.
Uh-huh.
And that's
I totally agree. Well, then, you know, so that's one of my viewpoints that you endorse?
Yeah. Okay. I do endorse that, Mike.
Okay. All right.
I also want to address something else you brought up yesterday.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Get the whole thing. Right, empty the bag.
I'm emptying the bag.
Go ahead.
Your guy that texted you at 6:50 in the morning.
6:50 in the morning. What hole are you on?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Not only is not that not a violation, it's classic.
I saw the humor in it because I couldn't deny that I didn't play well enough to play later in the day. But let me just tell you about that character who did that. You see,
well, okay.
I warned him because he was relentless even after the round that we played. When the wound is fresh. And I warned him. I said, you know, you're playing for the big stakes tomorrow. The golf gods do not like that kind of heckling.
Well, I understand you explain that. But
I did. I said, good luck to you, but the golf gods are not liking this at all. And in fact, they melted the next day.
Yes, I understand that. But I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, all right. Yuck, yuck at my expense.
Oh,
you,
man.
You and Diane. Guess what? Yeah. We're going to qualify you.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have one more thing. Who do you like this weekend, Penn State or Iowa?
Oh, all of a sudden you want my opinion now?
Yeah.
Oh, you and Diane would like my opinion?
Well, I would, yes.
I don't think I'm going to give it to you. How's that?
Well first
you'll all, have to wait until Friday, Greg.
Well, I criticized you last week for taking Villanova and the points, and you were right.
Of course I was right.
Yeah.
All right, listen.
I told you you were
Greg,
crazy.
Let me tell you, it's Tuesday, right?
All right.
I'm not feeling Penn State.
I'm feeling Penn State.
Okay, I'm not feeling them. It's Tuesday. By Friday, maybe I feely-feely, you know?
All right.
You hold on a second, Greg. Greg is qualified for the Provorov jersey. He and Diane. Yeah, you can wear one sleeve at a time.
Loves Tyrone.
Well, yeah, me and Diane. All right.
Love my people out in Lancaster. Spent a lot of time there.
Yes, that's your spot.
Yeah, I'm out there a lot.
Let's go to, the news is out on all the pumpkin patch situations going on. Are you going to take advantage of one of those little pumpkin patch?
It's that time of year.
It is. They're all over the place. I saw there was a pumpkin patch guide in the Inquirer on Sunday, I believe. I'll bring it in for you.
For who?
For you.
Plenty in Jersey.
No.
Oh, yeah. Up by your way. I'll scout them out for you.
Weather's too warm out here. So women, maybe save the flannel. Wait for the weather to cool down. Just because you're going to the pumpkin patch doesn't mean you got to wear flannel. Guys, Sunday. Sunday's going to be a day. Got the Eagles playing. Do not miss this Eagles game. I don't care what their record is.
No. You can't miss the Eagles game for the pumpkin patch. Well, you can always go on a Saturday.
Well, you could, or the missus says.
Or you can go Sunday morning.
Or if he's a working man, he works 6 days a week. Because I'm saying this because I've seen this. Mm-hmm. He works 6 days a week. His only day off's Sunday. And they say, oh, well, you don't see the kids. I'm with the kids all, blah, blah, blah. You might have missed the game and go to a damn pumpkin patch. Oh, I've seen it.
You can't.
Yeah.
You can't miss the Eagles game to go to the pumpkin patch. But you can get around it. My point to you is, mm-mm, will you imbibe the pumpkin patch this year?
No.
So you're still anti-pumpkin patch.
Yeah, and apple orchard.
What if there's a bar? What if they have
if the bar's called the pumpkin patch, that's the only pumpkin patch I would ever actually go to.
No, so that you have the pumpkin patch, and then they got a little beer garden over there.
So you snuggle up, you and the missus in a little wagon with some hot spice cider.
No.
And they travel through the pumpkin patch. Come on, that's... No.
That sounds terrible.
That's a couple's thing to do. No,
we're going to a winery.
When? Sunday?
No, because I have the Broad Street run next Sunday.
I'm talking about right now, the pumpkins that are at their hottest ebb right now.
No. There will be nothing pumpkin involved. I'm not doing any pumpkin patching. I'm not doing it. I'm not going. And guys, stop being suckers.
You've made this clear. You made this clear in the past that you're loathing of the pumpkin picking situation. I thought that by now you would have softened a little bit of your stand on the pumpkins.
It's stronger than ever. When I see these poor guys having to miss football because they're getting drug around. First, their wives dragging them. They're dragging the kids and the pumpkins in a red wagon.
What?
As they walk around the grounds, there's roots.
Let me get this straight. You're anti the husband and wife with the kids in the wagon picking their pumpkins, being delighted. It's one of the great fall moments of their life. You're down on that experience.
First of all, if that's one of the great fall moments of your life, you got a terrible life.
It's the kids. It's like, remember the time that you the time we went to the pumpkin patch and you pulled me around? You're anti that?
No, Daddy, I don't remember.
I don't remember it either. I never did that.
I liked having a good time. I didn't like doing something dumb just because mom wanted to take pictures.
How could a kid not like picking his own pumpkin? What is wrong with you?
Who cares about a pumpkin?
Where are you from? Pumpkin the old Soviet
stink.
Union?
Pumpkins stink. And the kids don't remember that. All they remember is the forced photo op.
Oh, Daddy, I want that big pumpkin. He looks like my Aunt Millie.
Oh, my God.
Let me take it.
Just look. They're going to have the high boots on the women, even though it's 75 degrees still. The flannel sweater vest. And then they got to get Jimmy holding pictures.
So what? It's a family moment.
It's not a family moment. Family moments happen organically. Like you have Christmas and somebody comes over and your cousin or your uncle or your aunt says something funny and you have a family conversation and somebody on the side captures the love that happened organically. Not this posed pumpkin,
you pick
garbage.
Your own pumpkin, you get it home, you with the kids, you carve a face in the pumpkin. I don't understand you.
What do you mean?
I just don't get it. It's like the classic family moment.
No, it's not. That's a phony moment, and it's
Jen, are you hearing this?
Yeah, I hear it. I'm split both ways.
Yeah, and I'm the odd human being,
right, that's
for not
true.
Supporting a prequel. This dude is anti-Americana with a pumpkin patch.
Yeah, no one likes pumpkin. You want to know how I know nobody likes pumpkin? Because no one likes pumpkin. Do you know anybody
I like
out there?
Pumpkin? I'm a big fan of pumpkin pie.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Well, how come I work with you guys every damn day and I've seen nothing pumpkin related from either one of you?
I told you I had a pumpkin spice latte the other day.
There's no pumpkin in
there's
pumpkin
no,
spice.
There's no coffee in this place, much like pumpkin coffee.
No. In your own time, Mike, you talk about your dishes all the time.
I love a pumpkin latte.
I made it that. You don't make anything pumpkin because you don't like it because no one likes pumpkin.
I love pumpkin pie. I just don't make pies.
You haven't had one, have you? And then it's going to get to Thanksgiving, and you just forgot to get around to it. And next thing you know, it's back to apple pie season.
I'm eating pumpkin pie every season like this. Thanksgiving season, I'm all about the pumpkin pie.
It's a good time.
Stevie J weighs in. No pumpkin patch. Thank you, Dad. You and I
well,
are the
see,
same
that's
page.
Where you get it. Because Stevie J was anti-pumpkin. He wouldn't take the kids to the pumpkin patch. Look what you missed.
That didn't exist when we were children.
I didn't miss a damn thing. And mama wasn't going to the pumpkin patch neither, because she don't want us lugging a wagon, us three of us acting a fool, picking a pumpkin. It's not a thing. It's not a Christmas tree.
You were all too old school for the pumpkin patch. Now it's in vogue for the kids.
It is.
Can't you do something for the kids?
You know what? Yes, mama can do it with her girlfriends and the kids. The dad doesn't want to go. No dad wants to go to the pumpkin patch. Stay home. Put your foot down. Do something else for her. Do something else. I'm not saying be a bad husband. Cook her dinner. When you get back, I'll have a nice dinner cooked for you because I'm not going.
Let's take a break. It's the Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Can I get an encore?
Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Philly Pretzel Factory, the official pretzel of the Philly sports fan.
The Sean Kincaid Show.
I'm not making grand proclamations on Nick Sirianni. I believe the game as a play caller is too fast for him. I'm not a believer that learning to be an NFL head coach and to be an offensive play caller should come in the same season.
Anthony Gargano.
When we're looking at analyzing where these teams are, then I believe in objectivity. Because the best way to build something is being objective about the talent. We got to show objectivity because that's going to lead us to the answer.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
I want a quarterback who has a skill set that can make plays. And when I looked at Jalen Hurts, I go, he's not of that caliber yet where I go, he can make every play in the book. And that's been my judgment on Jalen Hurts.
Listen all day, every day to 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
All right, let's get the final Twitter poll numbers and some interesting little entertainment TV, sports-wise, just broke that we'll tell you about. The Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you're looking for new outdoor power equipment, maybe a new mower, Paul B. Moyer in Doylestown is the place to go. Just check them out online at paulbmoyer.com. Jennifer Scordo, final Twitter poll numbers.
What is your confidence in Jalen Hurts after 8 starts? Kind of been consistent all day today. 7% say he's a future below average quarterback, 11% future franchise QB, 34% future average QB, and 48% future good quarterback.
All righty. Thank you very much. It's just been announced that a special golf match has been arranged. Mano a mano golf match between the two protagonists. Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau on TNT? What is this?
You got that right, Coach.
What in the world? When is this happening?
November 26th. So I got to check when Thanksgiving is. It's the day after Thanksgiving, so Black Friday.
The day after Thanksgiving, a daytime match, or will it be at night? With are they going to put?
I don't think.
Where is it going to be?
Oh, I don't know.
We don't know yet.
No.
But okay.
I mean, I don't care where or when.
Well, I'll tell you what. Money, money, money speaks. Does it not? Kepka must be getting paid a ton to go through with this.
Yeah, and I think that they did actually speak to one another, apparently, at the Ryder Cup.
I saw them hug.
Apparently, apparently they were around each other enough. You get that team camaraderie.
Yeah, but see, I don't like that now for this match. I want them to be enemies in this match.
It might bubble back up. They might have had a temporary truce.
Well, my thing is maybe they kiss each other's butt now.
Why?
No, I fear it. I fear that it's going to be diluted to the point where they're going to make nice.
I'm not jumping to that conclusion. That's a conclusion you're jumping to. I don't think
that. I don't know. I don't trust it.
That's perfect because, I mean, we're off that day. I mean, just are. So it's not like whatever time of day is we're available, we're off that day.
Are they going to, suppose DeChambeau tries to smash one and it goes like off the radar. Will Kepka be a type to go, I missed a big shot. You know, something like that?
I think he will.
You think he will?
Because I think he's a natural frat boy, like from birth. Like, sometimes frat people just, like, happen to go to a fraternity. I think he's one of those guys that at 4 was already a frat boy. I think he's one of those types.
Encourage that type of thing? Because, like, turn it into some kind of reality show that's half scripted?
I think they're going to
play. I mean, that's not a bad idea.
It's a good idea. And it's been too chummy as it's been so for all of these. Because it started during the pandemic, these particular things. And they've all been pretty good.
Yeah, because they're all golfers and they all play.
Well, even one with Brady and them.
Yeah.
And the one with Mickelson was good. Mickelson's good at that because he's good for the camera. He knows how to explain stuff. I think this will be good. And it's competitive. And that's what golf needs. They need a rivalry.
Well, you see, I like it. I like the idea of it. I just hope, people are going to think, oh my God, they're going to be at each other's throat. My sense is that they'll be the opposite. And that will dilute it and become non-interesting then. But we'll see.
Maybe they play up to it, though.
Yeah.
It's going to be simulcast on all Turner platforms.
There you go.
I'm telling you, I'm all
watching these dudes. What do you think the payout for both these dudes is? This is like Ali Frazier.
Oh, they're at least $1 million each.
Well, that's got to be more than that.
Kepka sneezes a million.
You better give me $5 million to play with that car.
You it's $1 million each, and then they'll do different stuff, and I guarantee there's some charity thing involved.
Of course, charity thing, but I got to get my clean $3 million out of the $5 million you're putting out there.
Well, you got to win then. I guarantee the winner gets more. So it's like you guarantee 7 figures for one day of golf. If you win, you get extra, and then you raise money for whatever charity you want. And the shambles might be for left-handed people or some. Who knows?
I would be even more interesting if a bunch of pro golfers, who none of them would be on the DeChambeau side, like they. Mm-mm. So they all fall. Kepka's got this gallery of PGA players, and DeChambeau walks by himself.
Right. What I would be interesting now is we're pretty much open. You're probably talking about a full crowd of people. Remember, in the beginning of these, it was empty. This was basically just to get
you
something.
You're
going to
hear all these Brooksy
sport.
Chants then if you bring the people in.
Why wouldn't you?
And that's what will make them mad.
That's illegal now. I can't do it.
On the PGA. This is not a sanctioned event.
Oh, they're going to do it.
They're going to do it.
Does Shamba know we up against that? You get that many people out there yelling Brooksy at him?
Because there's no. Why would you close it down? Why would you
cry?
It doesn't make sense to close it down. Even if somebody had to pay $1,000 a ticket, someone will just to heckle that guy.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
I'm halfway to figure out which 2 credit cards I can put it on, and I go and yell at him. So I know somebody with money will do it.
And that way it's not going to get too chummy. Then he'll get,
you'll get frustrated.
Yeah, he'll get angry.
Club.
Yep.
That'll be interesting.
That's going to be good.
I guarantee they have those mounted cameras, the GoPro cameras they have on there. I bet you he breaks one at some point if he's down like 3 strokes.
Yeah.
He's sitting there and takes the club and busts the camera.
Well, they're probably going to be wired too. So, whatever he says, they better have their hand on the red button.
Booney's going to honk on DeChambeau's backswing.
Of course, he is.
He said he's going to drop.
Yeah, he'd be that type. Let's go to Damon in West Philly. Damon, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Damon.
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
What's up, Dame?
Oh man. First of all, if you hear that little anger in my voice, it's because Philly got me crazy. By the way, Tyrone, good stuff this weekend on your show, and also with Devine and Dirk.
But,
so, Mike.
Yes, sir.
You're welcome. So I'm with Tyrone. 25 is retired, whatever, with that dude. But, Mike, the Eagles, right?
Yes.
And this is the question that needs to be asked, man. So last Thursday's game between Jacksonville and Cincinnati is one of the best games I've seen all year. Why? They ran the ball. They threw the ball. It was nice balance between both teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
One, if I'm Sanders, I wouldn't resign with the Eagles. I'm not getting touches. But the other thing, Mike, and Gannon talked about linebackers today. Mike, please, someone ask or help me answer this question. When and who decided that the Eagles no longer needed to honor linebackers? Well, I grew up with Byron Evans and Seth Joyner and my man, I can't get his name out.
I get you. Well, yeah, I guess Andy Reid changed that whole thing. Like, Andy Reid didn't value linebackers.
But I'm saying we had William Thomas. We had Trotter. I know he didn't, and Trotter came back. But Mike,
yeah, but the landscape changed where linebackers had to cover, so you couldn't have the Trotter types anymore, right? The game changed a little bit, but they always devalued linebackers. The Andy Reid era, that was Banner. Howie was the subject of Banner, and so the philosophy just pervaded through the years.
But Mike, the problem is, and this is to your point yesterday about you was a great show yesterday, Mike, and I'm with you. How long are they expecting me to wait?
No, you're right about that. They got to start drafting a Micah Parsons type because that solves all the boxes.
Yes, it helps the line. It helps the corner.
Yes, but they don't do it. Now, listen, this staff looks like if you listen to Jonathan Gannon, maybe like he's putting that subliminal message, you got to help me out with linebackers. You know?
So what? So that the first year in, they'll kind of dance along with the owners.
I don't know how Howie Roseman will react to this. Maybe Howie Roseman has a change of heart and goes, you know what? Maybe I've devalued linebackers after looking at this. I mean, that was one of the reasons they drafted Davion Taylor. I mean, the guy played like a quarter of football before they drafted him. But they saw a nouveau linebacker could do more things.
Right, they think he can cover. Now, where he took it to the extreme was, I believe Andy in his day, it was de-emphasized, but I think they were around 20th to 25th each year in linebacker spending.
Yeah.
Howie now, 2 years in a row, 32nd.
Yeah, he's made it worse.
He's going too far. And I think that there has to be a balance. Also then, if you're going to do that, you draft one in the second round, for example. The earliest they've drafted any of these linebackers is the third round.
You remember the linebackers that were considered. The Queen and Harris, the kid from Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
right? And they bypassed them completely. They had no interest in them.
Not needing to consider them. And I like that they invested in the offensive line. And we saw the guys. Driscoll's a guy they invested in. Herbig, Dickerson. Like, that's all good. Dillard, that's all good. But you can't just ignore a position and not spend money on their fields. You can't do both.
They learn. Like, the Phillies had to learn. You know, these bullpen guys that threw 92 can't do it. Now, they tried it, it didn't work either, but you know what I'm saying? The philosophy had to change.
The Steelers don't pay their defensive tackles in their 3-4. Their nose tackles. They play their ends. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they draft one high enough, use them up for a few years, let them sign somewhere else, and then bring in another one. Hence why how about they draft a linebacker high enough, even if you know you're going to get 5 years of them and then move on?
You got three next year. You got to probably have to draft one.
In the first round, these linebackers are flying around.
Exactly. And they're only justified by saying, well, we had three. So it's not like, you know what I'm saying?
One will be a lineman, one will be something else.
Exactly.
And then,
all right, coming up is Sound Off after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
Sound off. You gotta be faking me. What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number 5 will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
All right. By the way, in case you didn't know, we're doing overtime today on the Mike Misnelli Show. We'll be with you until 6:20, so we'll turn the hour over, and we still have room for your calls, and we still have that jersey, Ivan Provorov jersey, will still be at stake as we roll into our overtime period from 6 to 6:20. So
23.
23. So there you go. You get 23 minutes to impress us and you'd be eligible for the Ivan Provorov jersey. Anyway, sound off is 610-771-9705. We open our lines to you for you to leave a message in case you don't want to be on hold or you don't have the time to be on the show. Just publish what's going on in your head, and we listen to them when we come in the morning, and we put together a nice little package we call Sound Off. Let's get it.
Hey, Mike, listen, why aren't they going to stop wasting draft picks on little receivers and get some linebackers? Maybe some Penn State linebackers. Micah looks pretty good this year, and they blew that one.
Yeah, they could have used Micah Parsons. He's a dynamic player.
I think that Micah will end up being, because his position is more important, because the way he can also pass rush, the Eagles may look back on it and say, as good as Smith was, that other position was more important than maybe we should have taken.
He could be an LT. Micah Parsons.
Yeah, and even if he's like LT light, that generally has more impact on a game than any one wide receiver can be, because their position is so reliant on other people.
Yep.
Man, Doc Rivers looking like Brett Brown out there. Can't be using Maxie the same way you use negative 25 out there. Their style of play is different. Maxie shouldn't be giving the ball up to a center on the perimeter. And also, Shake Milton is not a point guard. He's an off-the-ball scorer. Shake Milton shouldn't be bringing the ball up. Literally, Grant Riller is a better ball handler than Shake Milton.
Listen, man, it's game one of the preseason. Come on, what are we doing here? Seriously, we're going to overreact to a preseason game where nobody's playing? Come on, slow down a little.
Mike, I was frustrated after the Dallas game. Now I'm even more frustrated. Okay, so Sirianni, this clown, has coached all of 4 football games, and already the guy sounds like a broken record.
You got to kind of ignore how he sounds at this point. He's wordy. He goes on forever to try to explain things. He says right at the end of sentences a little too much. That doesn't mean he can't be a good coach. My problem is, you're right, I don't like the learn on the job type of guys. I think you got to get in there. You got to hit the ground running. And so far, he hasn't done that.
Bad as the Eagles season could possibly get with a first-year head coach, people say, well, it could be worse. It could absolutely be worse. We could be stuck with that creep, Urban Meyer. Everywhere that guy goes, there's problems involved. He is a walking disaster.
he apologized, but he apparently didn't apologize to the extent he said he apologized. And the owner says, so, well, for now, it's okay. Because the owner knows that he can't be on the hook for that many million dollars that they hired him.
No, apparently setting up to let him go with cause.
Really?
Yeah.
They're gonna go with cause?
That's what they're working on.
Oh.
They can't do it yet.
So they're deciding they're going to let him go?
They're working on it. That's what the rumor's out
there. Oh, Urban, you messed that up. But you know what? He probably doesn't even care. All right, let's close it down.
The best of
those USC.
Now,
brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
I don't like
leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
Good riddance. See you later.
I can also see Ryan Day moving on to the NFL, and Urban wrapping up his career right back in Columbus, where his home and his restaurant is. Anyway, that was sound off. So here's the deal. We got overtime, and we're going to carry into the 6 o'clock hour. Now, as a programming note tonight, the only place you'll be able to hear the Flyers game will be on 97.5 The Fanatic as we lead you right into it. And tonight, the Flyers are in Bridgeport, Connecticut, playing the Islanders at the Webster Bank Arena. And Tyrone, they are a massive underdog. Minus 230, the Islanders are tonight.
Yeah,
what am I missing here?
Nobody's playing. Hart and all them aren't playing.
They're not playing?
No, because they played yesterday.
I might throw a shekel on the aisles tonight. Is that a violation? Minus 230?
Not preseason. Yeah, come on.
All right.
Do what you want.
Let's take a break. We'll be back. Overtime. That's coming up after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.